The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, September 3rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, at least three black-owned businesses in Philadelphia received racist messages that threatened the owners and employees. The sender uses extremely offensive racial slurs. The person also threatened to burn down businesses and sexually assault employees. Shanti Myers, the owner of the Sable Collective, was horrified when she got the email Tuesday night. She said that her heart dropped when she read the email that threatened to kill and rape her staff. Myers says the note is frightening and it shows racism is still a problem. The owners of Stripped Juice also received the same malicious letter. The owner's wife says the email is inflammatory, vile, and disgusting. Myers says that while the email is disheartening, she's not letting the hate stop her from doing her business in a community that she loves. Back in July, Uncle Bobby's, another black-owned bookstore and cafe, was vandalized. Police are urging any businesses who have received anything like this to file a police report. The federal government told states to prepare for a coronavirus vaccine to be ready to distribute by November 1st. The timeline raised concern among public health experts about an October surprise, a vaccine approval driven by political considerations ahead of a presidential election rather than science. In a letter to governors dated August 27th, Robert Redfield, director of the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, said states in the near future will receive permit applications from McKesson Corporation, which has contracted with CDC to distribute vaccines to places including state and local health departments and hospitals. CDC urgently requests your assistance in expediting applications for these distribution facilities and, if necessary, asks that you consider waiving requirements that would prevent these facilities from becoming fully operational by November 1st, Redfield wrote. He wrote that any waivers will not compromise the safety or effectiveness of the vaccine. Redfield told Yahoo Finance that officials were preparing for what I anticipate will be reality, in that there'll be one or more vaccines available for us in November and December.
Wow.
Several vaccine and public health experts pointed out that the final stage trials of experimental vaccines are still recruiting and are at best halfway through the process. The vaccine are two doses and each is given a month apart. Several experts told the Associated Press they did not understand how there could be adequate data on whether the vaccines work or if they're safe before November 1st. So we'll see. The Philadelphia 76ers might be moving away from the Wells Fargo Center to a new arena at Penn's Landing. The team made it clear last week that they want to move from South Philadelphia and into a new proposed arena along the Delaware River waterfront between Market and Chestnut Streets, roughly a 7.4-acre site. There are obviously people on both sides of this idea. The $4 billion arena bid vows to create 35,000 jobs in Penn's Landing and promises a solid commitment to include black and brown communities in the proposal. They have garnered the support of a coalition of leading minority businesses, civic and faith leaders. Others think the site is too small for such a large building and for the number of visitors that it will bring to the area. Environmental groups don't like the idea either. The Sixers did not make anyone available to comment on their proposal, nor did the Durst real estate developer out of New York, which also made a proposal for the property. Officials with Mayor Jim Kenney's office declined to comment on the plan. A decision on the proposal is expected later this month.
I think what's going to happen here is what always happens when they plan something in that area, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And then it doesn't
happen.
No. Yeah. I know. Yep. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
All right. It sounds a little different today.
It was good. I liked it.
Thank you.
We'll explain why in a little bit here.
The Phillies beat the Washington Nationals again last night at the ballpark. Right.
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler pitched 6 2/3 scoreless innings in the 3-0 win, putting the Phillies in position to sweep the four-game series with a win today. They have won 8 of their last 9 games since Bryce Harper said on August 22nd, "We have to go on a streak and win 9 out of 10. It needs to happen." The series wraps up this afternoon. Anibal Sanchez will pitch for the Nats while Zach Eflin gets the start for the Phillies. The first pitch is scheduled for 4:05. The Flyers and the New York Islanders face off in tonight's Game 6 in Toronto. The Islanders lead 3-2, and the puck is set to drop at 7 o'clock. Tom Seaver, the Hall of Fame pitcher and the hero of New York's Miracle Mets, who led his team from the National League basement to a World Series championship in 1969, died at the age of 75. The Baseball Hall of Fame announced his death, noting that the causes were Lewy body dementia and COVID-19. Seaver and his family announced in 2019 that he was withdrawing from public life because of advancing dementia. And Jay Wright dismissed speculation tying him to the Sixers head coaching vacancy, saying in a post that he is not a candidate for the job and that he is very happy and honored to coach at Villanova. About an hour after Wright posted his statement, Bobby Hughes of Rosemont College jokingly ruled himself out as a candidate for Sixers head coach with a nearly identical post. Hughes is a local product, having graduated from Malvern Prep in St. Joe's, and is a full-time career leader in wins at Rosemont, which plays in Division III. And that is what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Smooth start to today's show. So... Hello. Okay, we've
go been, through the chronology.
We've had this show for 22-23 years, however long it's been. Sometimes on occasion somebody runs late on a handful of times, once or twice maybe a year, I'll forget to set my alarm, and that happened this morning. I forgot to set my two alarms. Mind you, I set my standard alarm clock, and then I set it on my phone, and the phone is there and a backup in case we lose power overnight, and then right. I still have battery power left and the phone will wake me up. So I didn't set either one of those, and I didn't hear the phone call that Steve made to call and wake me up. So I must have been dead to the world.
To me too.
My wife woke me up.
Yeah.
and so I knew I was in trouble then. So I get up and I do the whore's bath over the sink.
Because your hair doesn't look bad. Usually,
thank you.
Sometimes when you're late, you'll come in and your yeah. hair, you don't even bother with your hair. It looks nice today.
I wanted to look nice for you, Kathy. Okay. Yeah, okay, so I made sure I did that, and I'm driving in, and I figured, okay, I'm about 15 minutes out. I'll give Casey a call, just give him an ETA on when I'm going to get in. So I figured we could start the show pretty much on time. So I call Casey, and it rings several times, and on the very last ring for it's going to go to voicemail, I hear, hello. And I'm like, oh,
man.
Yeah. Oh, no, not you, too.
Yeah.
So you just walked in.
Yeah, you almost explained my morning to a T, minus my wife waking me up. Oh. I did eventually, I heard Steve's ring. It was,
that's how my ring sounds.
And so, my phone was on vibrate, and that sound entered my dream. And then eventually I woke up. I'm like, what the?
What?
And I looked at the clock, and the clock said 5:44. I'm like, okay, that's not that bad.
Yeah, you know? I got time.
Right?
Yeah. I've got time. The show starts at 6.
Yeah, well, yeah. It registered as 4:44.
Yeah, of course.
You know? And I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. Okay. You know?
I don't have to rush.
Yeah. And then, and I was like, oh.
Did you see my text?
Yeah. Yes. And then, after I called you back, I saw your text.
I was calling you to get a number to directly call Rochelle so that I didn't wake up the whole house. And you're not answering. And then at that point, I said, ew.
So there's usually two feelings that are associated with it. One is panic and you're really mad at yourself. The other sometimes is just this weird calm because you realize there's nothing you can do about it.
And that's, I agree.
Yeah.
I went through that, Nick, because I started off, Rochelle comes in, she's press. And I go, because we sleep in separate bedrooms. Press, I go, what time is it? She goes, it's late. And I just go, F. I just start F-bombing all over the place. I get up, and then by the time I get in and I'm brushing my teeth, I'm like,
it is what it is.
You're late, dude. Yeah. Don't kill yourself trying to get in. Yeah. You know. So you're right. There's a bizarre calm that comes with it at some point.
Yeah, someone once explained that to me and said it's at the point where you need to realize this is where you're supposed to be at this moment. Like there could have been like a car crash right in front of you that you missed because you were late that day or whatever it is. And just don't, you know, of course you're going to rush. I mean, that's natural instinct when you're late for something. But like, just don't. Go, you know, don't be out of hand with it.
Right.
There's nothing you can do. This is where you are at this point, and you'll get there, and life will go on.
Yeah, you kept it under. You said 100.
No triple digits.
I think the calm usually comes when you're really late, right?
Yeah.
When like the panic comes when you're like when you could actually kind of make it on time-ish, right? Like but so today I was so late. I just made myself breakfast, you know, eggs and bacon. Yeah, I was like, whatever. Yeah. You know, I'll get there.
I need to change the oil in my car.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
I don't want to push it.
We're all together and we're ready to go now. So we will. Yes, Case.
No. I'm just that you don't have music.
Oh, you're not set up yet. Okay. So here's what we got going on today. Well, you know, normally I tell you what we have on the show at this point. So I'll do that.
We give away a Word of the Week prize. I teased that a moment ago. Smith and Myers are playing tonight. Brent Smith and Zach Myers are playing from Shinedown. That is at Citizens Bank parking lot for the live and drive-in. We will do the giveaway for that at the end of the show. We also have some great guests on the
show
today. Kevin Nealon is joining us. He's got a new stand-up special. It's called Behind the Mask, and it's going to be...
It's streaming on Saturday, I believe, right?
It just doesn't say where.
It says Saturday, September 12th at 10 p.m.
It just doesn't say where it's streaming.
Well, if you go to Rush Ticks and buy your tickets there...
You'll know.
You'll know.
It's an hour. Yeah, brand new stand-up special.
All right, and then we have... it's not Anthony Starr. It's Antony Starr, I believe. Antony Starr is an actor, and he plays in a show called The Boys that Steve and I are... all in for. We were the second season starts week.
Yes.
And I'm rewatching. I've got one more episode to go. The first season, I'm rewatching it because it is so damn good. If you do watch The Boys, and he's Homelander, you know who that is. So we're going to have him on. Very excited to talk to him. And also actor John David Washington, who was supposed to call in yesterday. He overslept.
Yeah.
Seems like it's catching. He stars in Tenet, and that's in theaters today, by the way, is what it says here on my list. So we have these things and more taking place. Let's break and come back in a second, and we'll do the stupid question, entertainment report, all that stuff. So we're not going to be gone long. We'll be right back. So it's
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Here is your stupid question for today. By the way, we're going to give away Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for PS4. And the question that I pose to you is, which youth organization administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture uses a four-leaf clover as its symbol? 215-263-WMMR. Which youth organization administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture uses a four-leaf clover as its symbol?
There used to be commercials for this organization all the time on TV.
Yeah, I was a member of the organization for a time. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now. We're going to go through some birthdays today, Thursday, September 3rd, and it is Charlie Sheen's birthday today.
Freaking Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Youth groups.
Have not seen or heard from him in a while.
Charlie Sheen. Charlie freaking Sheen.
Ever since his AIDS.
Silver Bullet of Truth tour.
Since he was diagnosed with AIDS,
Yeah, that part.
And, he popped up a couple times, and then he just kind of, settled.
I think he wisely decided to recess a little bit into anonymity.
Yeah.
Let all that blow over. You know what the thing is? He's a talented dude.
Yeah.
He's a very talented dude. You know, it was also a recent flare-up is that there were the allegations that came out from Corey Feldman Corey Haim. And that he claimed that Corey Haim was violated on the set of Lucas by Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? But he turns 55
Happy
years old today.
Freaking birthday.
Yeah. Guitarist of the Sex Pistols, Steve Jones, also turns... He's 65 today. Sex Pistols, I know two songs. That's it.
Yeah.
Anarchy in the UK and the other one.
He manages those things.
God
remember
save
that.
The
God
queen.
Save the Queen. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a Jeopardy clue the other night. The Sex Pistols were the part of the answer, and I was like, Anarchy in the UK, and it was God Save the Queen. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. And I like those two songs.
Yeah.
I just never had a reason to dive deep into the Sex Pistols. Maybe there's levels I'm not aware of about the set. No, probably not.
Right? No. Yeah. I describe it more as a movement in music than the band itself. I think
However, it
represented something.
I do like some songs from Public Image Limited,
yes.
Johnny Rotten's band, after the Sex Pistols. And believe it or not, when he tries to sing, he actually can sing.
Yeah, little known fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
But Steve Jones... turned 65 years old today, so happy birthday to him. Actor Garrett Hudlin A Hedlund.
We were just talking about him.
Yeah. Why were we talking about him? He had a baby?
Emma Roberts is his girlfriend or fiance, and she's expecting.
Yeah, they're I think they're boyfriend, girlfriend, because they've only been together for like a year or so or something like that.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that does.
Yeah,
that's
it. Put a bun in the oven.
Yes, Tron Legacy, Troy, Friday Night Lights, a few movies here and there. He turns 36 today. Al Jardine of the Beach Boys is 78 years old.
I'm fascinated with that band as of late, and there's a new documentary coming out on the Beach Boys. Brian Wilson is obviously the focal point, but what a story that band has.
Yeah, yeah.
Abusive dad.
Al, by the way, he's the little dude.
Yeah.
He's the really tiny one.
I'm a Beach Boy. Don't bury me in the sand.
But he turns 78 years old today. And then the last birthday I saw is Shaun White.
Wow.
The Flying Tomato. No longer a tomato. Remember, he dyed his hair that grayish platinum type color.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. Had a chance to meet him in person, and he was nothing but super duper nice. And he turns 34 years old today.
What's the movie that he plays like such a dick in?
Schindler's List.
No.
I didn't even know he was in a movie.
Yeah, and
he plays Shaun White, but he's a jerk. He's a total a-hole. Yeah.
I'm wondering, is that why? Because he is such a nice guy. So
probably.
It was done as the antithesis of what he really is.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll look it up.
Nick's gonna.
So it wasn't Schindler's List.
Scan that.
It was Friends with Benefits, Kathy, with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
That's right.
Yeah, he plays Shaun White, but he's just a total a-hole and completely backstabs everybody. It's very funny.
Shaun White is 34. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And it is, which youth organization administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture uses a four-leaf clover as its symbol? I will go to Joe, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Joe, what's the club we speak of?
The 4-H Club.
You're right. Hang on, Joe.
Do you know what the 4-H's stand for?
I used to, but
health,
I don't.
Health, health, and happiness.
Health, health, and happiness? No. I've forgotten. But we can look that up, and Nick is looking.
I think it's hip-hop, health, and happiness.
Yeah. Actually. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Loving hip-hop Atlanta.
So we are going to set him up with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for PS4. You can play the most iconic skateboarding games ever made in one epic collection. Rebuilt from the ground up in incredible HD. All the Pro Skaters levels and tricks are back and fully remastered. It's available tomorrow, on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC via Epic pre-order today. Nick, any idea?
Head, heart, hands, and health.
There you go. I was close.
Yeah, just almost.
You got health.
I got none of the four. Yeah. All right. A source close to Chadwick Boseman said that he was optimistic that he would beat colon cancer and gain weight back in order to be able to star in the Black Panther sequel. A source said that Boseman was prepping to star in the role a week before he passed. He was set to start shooting this month, by the way. Meanwhile, there were only a few people who knew about his condition, including his producing partner, Logan Coles, his agent, Michael Green, his trainer, Addison Henderson, and 42 director, Brian Helgeland.
There was sort of like a good lesson that came out of yesterday. Did you see the actor Clark Peters talking about his treatment of, or at least his perception of Chadwick Boseman? He'd worked with him on a movie. Do we have the clip over, Case?
We do,
so he'd worked with him on this movie. And it reminds us that we don't know what someone's going through, perhaps, when we judge them too quickly. So give a listen to that.
I have to say, with a little bit of regret, that I probably wasn't the most altruistic. But hindsight teaches us a lot of things. And what I'm addressing is basically, my wife asked what Chadwick was like, you know. I said, well, I think he's a little bit precious. And she said, why? I said, because he's surrounded by people who are fawning over him. You know, he's got a Chinese the practitioner who's massaging his back when he walks off set. He's got a lady who's massaging his feet. His girlfriend is there holding his hand. And I'm thinking, well, maybe the Black Panther thing went to his head. But now I regret even having those thoughts, because they were really looking after him.
Nobody knew. You didn't know. Nobody knew he had colon cancer.
Wow. It was good until the knee-bitty-knee, until the end there. That came out of nowhere. But that is, well, that's, yeah, and that's the way it would have been. You maybe, had it been a secret.
Look at this guy.
Yeah. Boy, what a prima donna.
Pampered, yeah.
But no, they were looking after his health. Wow, that's sad. Henderson had said, his trainer, Addison Henderson, had said, I used to tell Chad, man, you remind me of my dad. You guys are fighters, and you never stop moving forward. For us, it was just like, let's keep going. Let's keep doing what you want to do. Let's keep training. And then me and Logan and his family, his wife Taylor, we were always just here to support him. Sources say that Bozeman was in a bout of hardcore pain while filming his last film, Netflix's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. As for the projects he chose, Green had indicated that he never really did dark movies because he was fighting the darkness himself. Green said, I remember him and Tessa Thompson were offered a movie. It was about two slaves, and he was like, I do not want to perpetuate slavery. And it was like, we're not going to keep perpetuating the stereotypes, and that's why he wanted to show men of strength and of character. So just sad news, 43 years old, still thinking about that. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are officially Hollywood producers. The Sussexes have signed a multi-year deal with Netflix, according to the New York Times. Their production company, the name has not been made public yet, will crank out feature films, scripted shows, and children's programming exclusively for Netflix.
Their first show is a reality show. It's called The Real Housewives of Buckingham Palace.
Now, how would that not be a hit, man?
Would you not watch that?
God, yes. Oh, Real Housewives of Buckingham Palace?
Were you talking to that hoochie mama?
Yes. Oh, my God. That's got so many possibilities to it. They could go to other places like Frogmore and
Lady My Ass,
Windsor Castle.
Exactly. Flip the table over, one of those huge tables that 100 people can sit at.
They would need to get some of the staff to come in and help them to really
get in here so I can flip this table over and rage.
In a statement, they said, our lives, both independent of each other and as a couple, have allowed us to understand the power of the human spirit, of course, of courage, resilience, and of the need for connection. Through our work with diverse communities and the environments, to shining light on people and causes around the world, our focus will be creating content that informs but also gives hope, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Preston, The Boys starts tomorrow.
I'm excited about that.
God bless them, but knock it off.
Which means, really, tonight at midnight, right?
That's really what
it's going to drop tonight at midnight?
I'm going to watch it. All right, let me get into some other stories in Casey's going to watch it.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would say, me too.
I am. I already said.
What if he doesn't want to?
Well, you slept in today, so you could probably make it to midnight tonight.
Maybe. In a candid conversation with People magazine, Paris Hilton is opening up about toxic relationships from her past. She said, I went through multiple abusive relationships. I was strangled. I was hit. I was grabbed aggressively. I put up with things no one should. In the new documentary called This Is Paris, which is going to be out on YouTube on the 14th, the 39-year-old said that the pattern of abuse began when she attended Provo Canyon boarding school as a teen. She said, I become so used to abusive behavior at Provo that it made me feel like it was normal. She said that the abuse five of her exes dished out started the same way. She said they all seemed like such nice guys. And then the true colors would show. They'd get jealous or defensive or try to control me. And then there would be come a point where they would become physically, verbally, and emotionally abusive.
Wow. So she says all five are physically abusive towards her?
I don't know if she says all five were physically abusive, but she said all five were abusive. But there was physical abuse in there with some of them. So
I think there are a-holes all over. But I think sometimes there are, when you get into the entitled a-hole.
Yeah.
Who just thinks, well, this is, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hilton revealed that she romanticized the abuse. She said, I didn't really understand what lover relationships were. I thought that them getting so crazy meant that they were in love with me.
She said that the big turning point was her interview on our show, Preston.
It must have been.
No, she said, looking
back, I can't believe I let people treat me like that. She also blamed her infamous 2003 sex tape on Provo. She said, I would never have let anyone into my life like that, meaning the man in the tape whom she was dating at the time. I met the worst person I could meet, and if I hadn't gone to Provo, I wouldn't have entered the thought of letting him into my life. Provo affected my future relationship.
Wait, so if you go ahead.
How is that? I don't understand. How is he connected to that?
I think she's just saying going through that abusive behavior at the school kind of laid the groundwork for her to accept people like that into her life.
If you work in the financial department at Provo, can you issue Provo loans?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But it was Provo Canyon Boarding School. Hilton told people that her boyfriend, Carter Ream, makes her feel safe. She said before, I don't think I was really ready for a good relationship, but I've learned so much, and I'm so grateful to have found my perfect match. So,
she had a dude before this who she claimed to be the soulmate, and that lasted for just like a couple of months.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to watch it, though.
Who's in the sex tape? Is it anybody famous or no?
Oh, what's that?
Rick Solomon.
Rick Solomon.
Oh, right. Yeah,
check it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. We mentioned this late in the show yesterday. Dancing with the Stars has quite the season lined up. They announced on Good Morning America that the upcoming season of the ABC show will include Backstreet Boys' AJ McClain. And as we had revealed yesterday, Carol Baskin of Tiger King will be dancing. Also, Selling Sunsets, Chrishell Stouse, Bachelorette alum Caitlin Bristow, former NFL player Vernon Davis, also Jesse Metcalf, Monica Adams, who is on Netflix's show Cheer.
I like Jesse Metcalf, Preston. He's now one of the main go-to actors in the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Anne Heche is also on board, who we felt was the biggest name there. Skye Jackson, One Day at a Time actress Justina Machado, the real host, Jenny Mai, Grammy Award-winning rapper Nelly is going to be
there. You go.
Catfish host Nev Schulman, NBA superstar Charles Oakley, and Olympic figure skater Johnny Weir.
All right, so when you said Jesse Metcalf, I automatically thought of Laurie Metcalf. Is there any relation?
I don't think so. Okay. No, Jesse Metcalf, Kathy, was the was Ava Longoria's boy toy.
Oh, yeah, Desperate Housewives. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So just a couple of quotes. I think we have a clip of Carol Baskin.
Oh, geez.
Let's see. Davis said, I may have won a Super Bowl ring, but I need that Mirror Bowl trophy.
Not really.
He said, this is one competition I was born to win. No, I'm sorry. Aldama had said this is one competition I was born to win. Nelly said, I'm a Scorpio. I feel I can do anything. So this is going to be my biggest test yet, but I'm up for it. I love competition, and I think this is one that will set me apart from others. If I can pull this one off, because I only got two left feet.
So I assume you're going to be Team Nelly because he's from St. Louis. Right?
I will.
The whole house will be done up with Nelly paraphernalia.
I'm doing the home team thing. So we shall see. And do we have that Carol Baskin?
Yeah, we do.
All right, here we go.
Well, Tiger King really glamorized animal abusers and villainized me for trying to stop animal abuse. And so I felt really betrayed by that. The biggest thing for me is that the longer my partner and I can stay in the running and in the competition, it will keep the cat's forefront in the viewer's eye. And to me, that was where Tiger King missed the ball.
Hey, cool cats and kittens. I mean, wow. I'm surprised last night we didn't hear about Joe Exotic hanging himself in his cell.
I know.
It's got to drive him out of his mind.
Nick has pulled up video that we're watching right now of Johnny Weir skating. I think he's the odds-on favorite because of the choreography. Yeah.
It's never the case, though.
The athletic ability. But, the audience
it's
has
a popularity contest, too.
He spends a lot of time in our area. And this skating video, Preston's from Wilmington because they have those world-class skating facilities down in Delaware. And I think, is he from here originally?
He might be from, is he from Reading?
He's from our area, I believe. But anyway, I'd love to get him on the show. He's a great interview and a really interesting guy.
He's a hell of a personality. Yeah. So he's got a shot. We'll see. All right, what other things do I have for you? Oh, David Blaine flew nearly 25,000 feet up into the air using 52 big balloons yesterday.
I was watching some of the footage, I guess, as it was going on. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. And in the scene, it looked like he had brought part of the animated movie up to life. It looked pretty impressive. He broadcast the feat on YouTube. He had these cameras hanging off of the balloons. And he getting up to 24,900 feet of altitude before detaching himself from the balloons and parachuting down. So he did a free fall after going up that high. Yeah, it's pretty cool. He did his stunt in Arizona, but his original plans had actually been to do it over the Hudson River. Variety said that Blaine had dreamed of floating in the air using balloons since the short film The Red Balloon, as a kid. So we weren't sure what he was going to do, but yeah, it was all to skydive.
It was interesting to watch it. It was obviously a shorter one, and he has had a couple. He continues to have specials on ABC. The magic specials are very popular, where he goes to celebrities' homes and does stuff.
Yeah.
But on this stunt level, those would get specials as well. So it's interesting he did this the way he did it.
Do we know if he had a harness attached and he undid it?
It looks like it, yeah.
He did, okay. But the impression when you look at it is that he's simply just hanging on by his right. one arm. But there was a harness running down.
All right, so it was more just a stunt than yep. anything, which is, that's cool, you know, because
well, while he was up there, he sawed a lady in half.
That's why I think that when he does these stunts, that they're legit, that the other stuff yeah. is sleight of hand right. and an illusion. And then when he does these are just stunts that he does. So
I can see my house.
He's a pretty fascinating guy.
He is.
I was actually surprised with how I don't even know in enthralling his stage show was, because he's not an energetic guy.
Right. Well, he's not a showman. I mean, right? he doesn't put on the big production.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have a big show tonight.
So you saw him on stage?
Yeah, we saw him at the Tower Theater, and okay. at the very end, his last thing that he does is he held his breath in a tank of water for 10 minutes. And, you know, he was like, hey, I'd like for anybody here to try and hold their breath along with me to see, you know, how difficult it is. And I did. I held my breath for over a minute, and then he just kept going and going and going, and I'm like, is he really doing this, or is this an actual trick? Is he?
All right, that's over. You can go home now.
Can somebody hold their breath?
I think he really does it. If you saw the one, the special, and watched it where he did the same thing in mm-hmm. a tank of water in public, is he trained over time, over like a year's time. He went to, people who taught him meditation and so on. And yeah. There are ways to slow your heart rate, but it takes a lot of practice. It's like what free divers do.
Yeah. So what he did say, and what I remember about that, is he does go in upside down, because he said,
like Houdini,
because you, for some reason, you're, I guess you can hold more air in your lungs air in your lungs for longer if you're inverted.
It has something to do, and listen, if I'm off, I'm off. But I remember when we were learning to become certified for diving, that I think where your body absorbs the oxygen in your lungs, there might be more of that material at the base of the
okay.
of the lung, I think.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, because they were talking in the early days of the COVID stuff. They were talking about the methodology of having patients lay on their stomachs.
And prone, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For something that pertains to what you just said. Yeah. They also had them mimic the card tricks of David Blaine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that'll calm you down. Yeah, I guess so. All right, anyhow, let me see a couple other quick stories. Let's go with this. Brian Austin Green and Tina Louise were spotted out on a beach in L.A.
From Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, they're a couple now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a big age. Tina Louise is an actress, musician, harpsichord player, and engineer. I don't know.
The only one I know is Ginger.
Yeah.
From Gilligan's Island.
Looks like she's also an Instagram model who is not afraid to post very sexy photos of herself on Instagram. Tina. All one word.
Ain't nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And they were spotted out on a beach in L.A. a month after sources told people that they had split. Green.
What do you want to talk about?
She's just absolutely gorgeous.
I don't want to talk about anything. Just put your lotion on.
They've been casually dating since splitting with Megan Fox.
Where do clouds go?
Who has moved on with Machine Gun Kelly.
How long can you hold your breath?
And listen to this. Carol Burnett has been appointed the temporary legal guardian of her grandson, Dylan Hamilton West, the son of her 52-year-old daughter, Erin Hamilton. Per ET, the docs state that temporary guardians have the authority to change Dylan's school and housing pending the next hearing date.
There was some sort of an issue with the woman passed away, right?
No. Burnett's daughter is reportedly struggling with addiction issues.
I'm
sorry, you got some terrible information there, E.T.
You don't get everything on my homeworld, I'm a botanist.
And then actually, one other thing. Keanu Reeves is not spilling the beans on Matrix 4, but he did say in an interview recently that director Lana Wachowski created, quote, a beautiful story and a beautiful script. He said, and I'm really grateful to be here and be a part of this story.
A beautiful story and a beautiful script will set it apart from the second and third movies in the trilogy.
Warner Brothers is pushing the release to April 1st, 2022.
Mm.
So we are ways off from that.
That last movie was such a disappointment. The second one had its moments. The third one was like... It was just, there was just too much of everything, and it was all over the place.
Which is, one, there's a line that I hate, and I just love you too damn much.
Yeah.
And I hate that line. I don't know why it was written. I don't know why it didn't make it. I don't know why it made its way through the editing process.
I love Keanu, but there are some lines you don't give him.
Yeah.
And that would be one of them.
Right.
And I like Hot Pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we're ready for clips. Star Trek Lower Decks is a new 30-minute animated expansion of the classic sci-fi franchise.
Hmm.
In this clip, creator Mike McMahon discusses what this new series is all about.
It focuses on four ensigns who are serving on a not important ship. And there are stories that I think feel very Starfleet. There are stories about working on a ship, who you're working with. There's social emotional stories mixed in with sci-fi stories, because every Star Trek is kind of about a family, and our show is also about a family. It's just not the same family you've seen before.
Hey!
Has Star Trek ever been given the animated treatment before?
It has.
Okay.
In fact, it goes all the way back to the original series. Which I was not a big fan of. But this is interesting, too, and I think there's a little bit of a somewhat comedic element to it. I love the notion of what's going on the lower decks.
Yeah.
Not the bridge crew.
Yep.
You know, what about, like, in 10 forward? And that's why I liked when they brought that whole aspect down, which was the bar on the Enterprise and Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. Star Trek Lower Decks is streaming now on CBS All Access. Here's the next clip. A young monk and his group of disciples are on a new journey to collect ancient scrolls of Buddhist wisdom in the new Legends of Monkey.
Monkey.
In this clip, star Chai Hansen discusses meeting fans that can recite dialogue from the show word for word.
One of the things I find just kind of, it blows me away, is when people can recite the things that the characters do in the show, like the sutra that Tripitaka does. I had a kid come up to me and was like completely word for word perfect doing the sutra, and I'm like, I can't even do that.
The new Legends of Monkey is streaming now on Netflix, by the way.
Monkey.
No. All right, and that's what I have for you. Entertainment report this morning. All right, we have a few things going on. We have guests on the show. Kevin Nealon is joining us. Anthony Starr, who is in the show The Boys, which comes out tomorrow, season two. He plays Homelander. If you watch the show, then you're going to be excited for that interview.
You could watch the entire first season during your, in fact, pretend you're working and watch the entire first season.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
It takes the superhero genre in directions you never considered. It's wild.
It's profane.
It's gory.
Violent. Mm-hmm. If you like a show where you get those, oh, my God!
Yeah,
moments.
Totally.
Yep. It's jammed with them.
All right, so he'll be on around 9:10, and then we're going to have John David Washington. We're supposed to have him on yesterday. We got him on today instead, and he is the star of Tenet, which is going to be in theaters starting today. Those things and more. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment, so stay with us. You know what? I can give you, just for the hell of it, caller number 20, a copy, a digital download of The Goonies. And we'll take, like I said, call number 20, 215-263-WMMR. The magic that is The Goonies. You can own it on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and digital now. We'll be right back.
MMR's annual musical education in everything that rocks is heading home to roost.
Thursday at noon.
Start your Labor Day weekend early with MMR's A to Z.
The homeschooled edition.
No new math or pop quizzes. Just thousands of songs covering everything from A to, well, Z. Duh.
An alphabetical countdown lasting over a week with zero repeats.
All your favorite songs. Ones that'll make you go,
oh, yeah.
Tunes you haven't heard in ages to make you say,
oh, wow.
And a few that'll undoubtedly elicit a,
if you like Kenya Kamada.
Oh, what the hell?
MMR's A to Z, the homeschooled edition, presented by the Bush Auto Group.
Fast, easy car buying online, bushautogroup.com.
From 93.3 WMMR.
Everything.
And we mean everything that rocks.
Has anybody had breakfast yet?
No.
All right.
No?
Well, let's have breakfast. It's time for the connoisseur. We have
the connoisseur. The not quite well. The Labor Day weekend edition.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Everyone thinks about eating over Labor Day.
This is true. This is true. And I just did a live commercial endorsement for Cinch, the propane tank thing,
which is sensational. I use it too.
It is great. And yeah, I haven't made any grilling plans as of yet.
Do you usually in advance of a weekend? Do you kind of have an idea of where you're going on the? Because this is. From what you're saying, this is going to be an optimum barbecue weekend.
Yeah. I actually don't usually do the stereotypical that Monday Labor Day celebration because we have to get up early the next day. And it usually involves some beer.
You do it on Sunday, right?
I will. If I'm going to do something, I'll do it on Sunday.
Me too.
Yeah. You know?
But grilling, have I talked on air about my Blackstone yet?
Grill? And okay. What a revelation it has been in your life. And,
yeah.
And you still, like, I went to see Casey down the shore when we were on vacation. We
popped
down there for the weekend, and sure enough, went out back, and his his Blackstone grill was out there. It was a little dirty.
I was like, I haven't cleaned it yet.
Don't judge me.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of my only complaint about that type of grill. Now, the Blackstone grill is essentially what it is. It's just a giant fryer.
Yes.
You know, like
not a fryer.
Not a fryer.
It's a griddle.
Giant griddle. Well,
it's a grier.
It's a grier. So my only complaint is, like, the upkeep for it. Like, because
where's the grease go?
So there's a little trap in the back. So there's a picture here in the studio. If you see along the back wall, there's a little hole.
Yeah.
And there's a little indentation. And then there's like just this little, you know, bucket or whatever.
Is that one of the
receptacle.
Where upkeep is required?
Yeah. I mean, obviously that goes in there. You got to wait for it to congeal and then you throw it away or whatever. But
you're not getting a classic barbecue taste.
No, and it's not that
it's not
at
meant
all.
For that.
No. I mean, if you know, you remember us talking to Bobby Flay. He talks about, like, you know, the best burgers are actually kind of fried.
Right. Yeah,
Fat stays in it. Yeah,
it's like if you were to go to a cheesesteak restaurant. It's what they're cooking. You know,
exactly. Yeah. Of course.
But apparently, this does have a. You could take the griddle part off, which is super heavy, and you can actually put a grill on it well.
Yeah. All right. So the grill, will allow the fat, the drippings to go down in and burn off him. Yeah.
But I make breakfast on it. That's the thing. I'm out there grilling.
Cereal.
I make cereal. Pop-Tarts are great. Well, I bet you Pop-Tarts would be good on that.
Anytime you go to a diner, a Greasy Spoon, something like that, they're cooking breakfast on that. And they've got
it smells good.
They've got, you know, 1,000 eggs are cooking at the same time. So you can cook en masse for one of those, which is why it's good for cooking for the whole family.
I still have to learn about timing and press, you know. Because you're actually really good in the kitchen. For me, timing is one of the things I need to work on.
You just learn it over time. You figure it out after a while.
You need time to learn how to manage time.
Yeah. When you eventually figure out how to have it all come together at the same time and be hot at the same time, and it's something that I'm actually really good at.
I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go get the cheese. I can't believe I didn't have the cheese out here.
Yeah.
Everything's gonna burn, you know, and
It's like bees, la-di-da-di-da.
Exactly,
the bees, and all of a sudden,
la-di-da-di-da-di-da. Oh, bees!
And just change that to cheese.
Yeah.
Do it.
La-di-da-di-da-di-da.
Oh, cheese!
That's great.
Awesome.
That's good.
Well, speaking of breakfast, it turns out what you choose to eat for breakfast can reveal things.
Oh, my back?
You're back. About your personality, English food brand Weetabix.
Weetabix?
Yeah, polled 2,000 British adults about their personality traits and then compared it to what they reported eating for breakfast. It turns out most people who identified as bohemian prefer to have a pain au chocolat for breakfast.
Do we know what this stuff is?
I love pain au chocolat.
What is that?
It's a chocolate croissant. They're
chocolate
delicious.
Croissants are awesome.
I do love them. Just calling that. It's bread stuffed with chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's America, Jack.
It's bread. You got chocolate in it.
Weetabix is terrible. It's like eating cardboard.
I've actually had it.
Yeah, it's awful.
I had it over there, as you're right.
Let me try this out on you. With your accent there, made me think, Steve. You know, because if you have a chocolate croissant, which is essentially bars
of bread with chocolate,
thin bars of chocolate inside a croissant, which is fantastic. But could you, in turn, the bastardized, super duper cheap Americano way of just taking two slices of sandwich bread and putting Hershey's a Hershey's bar inside there and making a chocolate.
I want to try that
bar sandwich.
Now, needless to say, the croissant in and of itself is wonderful.
Oh, it's loaded with butter. I looked into making homemade croissants one time. I'm like, that's too much work. And there is a ton of butter in it, which is why it's so damn good.
It's all over the chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe if you put butter on the bread first and then or chocolate
Here's
bars.
Here's how you make cheap croissants.
Yes.
You get two slices of Wonder Breads and you stick Hershey's between it and butter the F out of it.
There you go. Voila.
Voila. Then you get one of those stupid grills Casey's got. And you fry it up.
You could make a grilled one.
I could.
You actually could on that. It'd probably be awesome. Yeah. You can always experiment with stuff. Anytime you apply chocolate, it's a legitimate experience.
All right. So anyhow, the people who identified as bohemian prefer to have the, how do you pronounce it, Nick?
Au chocolat.
Pa au chocolat.
Like a P-A-I-N is how it's spelled, right?
Oh, like au pain.
Pain
like,
au chocolat. Like,
pan.
Yeah.
Au
bon
pain. Pain au chocolat.
Exactly. Au bon pain.
For breakfast.
Would you like a Hershey bar between the two pieces of Wonder Bread?
Well, those who say they just drank a cup of tea are likely to be high earners, ranking in over $133,000 per year.
And miserable.
Those who loved French toast more likely to be party animals, while those who just eat a banana are more likely to be stressed out. And those who reach for cereal are deemed most trustworthy by their friends and family.
So my usual breakfast is on the weekend, before I'm exercising, because I exercise early on the weekend, I will have just a protein bar. And then I will have oatmeal when I come back.
After.
And that, so that's
steel cut, right?
Steel cut. It's got to be, man, even though I don't know what it is. I have
I
no
told
idea.
You,
but
it's the size.
Is it?
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes,
I just know that has it been cut by steel things? and so that's my favorite. But occasionally, here's my issue with cereal. And let me ask you guys if you have this as well. If it's a cereal you love, do you find yourself eating like 7 bowls of it? Because I always do. I eat far too much cereal.
No, I'm good after one bowl.
Yeah. What are you eating that you can feel full after one bowl?
This is the guy who has like a spoonful of ice cream and calls it dessert.
Special K almond, vanilla almonds.
Like Frosted Mini Wheats, I've got to have like 2 bowls, two or three bowls. Yeah.
You said the
how big's your bowl?
The banana. The banana is means stress or
yes.
That's like that would most describe me. The list that you just went through, like I'm most likely to just grab a banana and then not eat until lunch.
There's one more though.
Okay.
Those who included peanut butter in their breakfast were more likely to say that they're passionate lovers.
Oh, I got peanut butter in my bag right now.
While those
Jeff mother effers.
While those who enjoyed avocado toast tended to be well traveled.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure these are all hard and fast rules.
There are some people that just can't eat breakfast. They just don't have the stomach for it in the morning.
That's why Marissa doesn't eat breakfast.
Yes, when you see a picture on like the back of a box of cereal where the family's sitting down and they have stacks of pancakes and bread, all this stuff is like, I would be comatose by 11.
So you mentioned cereal twice, and I just got to say something. I was at BJ's yesterday, and I saw some of the worst parenting of my life. There was a kid who was probably at least 10, probably 11, who I guess he was bored. And he just was sitting on the cereal. There was a pallet of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And this a-hole, whose mother allowed him to do this, was put his ass all over somebody else's food. I'm just going to leave it at that. Back to you, Preston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it like squishing the
It
boxes?
Doesn't matter. His hiney was on it. And his mom allowed that. But no, I it didn't look like it was indented at all. He was a thinner kid.
We start tonight's news at BJ's where many witnesses saw a child put his hiney on boxed cereal.
All right.
The investigation continues.
So anyhow, if you eat peanut butter, you might be a passionate lover.
You might be.
If you eat a banana, you might be a little stressed out.
What's your breakfast situation? Because you have a different breakfast scenario on the weekend. There's no way you wake up and make a full breakfast before you come in here.
Usually a bowl of cereal is what I have on the weekend. And if
do you put fruit in it?
On rare occasions, I'll put a banana in there. But I will, when I'm going to go beyond that, we'll either do pancakes or, you know, like eggs over easy with some bacon or something. You know, your standard breakfast.
All right.
There, so
standard American breakfast.
Yep, that's it. All right. So anyhow, little peek into the breakfast world. I found this really interesting, and I don't understand it. Thai Airways, Indonesia's Garuda, and Cathay Pacific have started offering airline meals to passengers with people with both feet on the ground. The companies that make the airline meals,
right,
in most cases, are offering them as takeout as well.
So are we talking what you might get in first class or just
your
box of snacks in the economy section?
It just says airline food. So it says they're doing this because the pandemic has hit airlines hard, leaving them with extra food stock. So they're trying to unload that.
That's interesting. It might be something kitschy for people to do.
Yeah, you know what is funny about the airline food? As substandard as it is, if I'm taking a long flight, I actually get a little bit of delight about my little meal that is delivered to me. I don't know why. I almost always end up in the clean plate club because I finish everything they bring to me.
Well, there's a scene in Papillon when he's in solitary confinement when he goes, ooh, cockroaches.
Yeah.
So you don't.
Ooh, a centipede.
Ooh, yo, centipede. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same way. And then you start to play that mental game, Kathy. You know, they're coming down the aisle and they're asking if you want the box of snacks. You're like, maybe I won't. If she passes and I have an
I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm weak.
Yeah, yes, totally.
Like one row behind
me.
Like,
I want two.
Because they do run out sometimes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Don't you have something kosher?
Yeah. What is the, do you guys know the best meal you've ever had on an airline?
Okay. I can remember Nick, as clear as day. It was years ago when my dad was being flown out to California to work for, and I was a kid, so I don't know if this even constitutes a legitimate meal thing. But I swear to God, in first class, with full cutlery and everything, a thick hamburger, steak fries, and a chocolate shake.
Wow. Chocolate shake.
Yes.
Ice cream. That's okay. Never heard of that. That's awesome.
Yes.
Good for you.
It was American Airlines. I remember clear as day. It was a 707 and we were traveling at 31,000 feet.
I don't remember the best meal I've ever had, but I just know that when I do have that meal, I'll do everything from using the little salt and pepper thingies, the little pad of butter, everything. I will make sure I'm going to do this right.
You feel like Steve Carell in Dinner for Schmucks with, kind of little intricate things.
Yeah, I'm getting my money's worth. I think that's part of it mentally. Is I paid for this ticket, I'm getting every bit of this.
For sure, yeah.
And I'm polishing a turd by pretending this is good food.
Please don't take that. I haven't licked all the salad dressing out of the container.
Totally.
Yeah, and then you take your bread and you clean out the rest of the salad dressing.
Yes!
Yeah.
Every last drop.
So I'm not alone. Ooh. You gotta sop it up. No.
I'm gonna have to push it away. I'm full.
That's how you normally eat, though. Right?
What's that? That's how you normally eat, though.
I sop up the plate.
Yeah, I clean
the plate with bread. And I definitely do it on the plane. But if you're lucky enough to do an international flight, they usually have halfway decent meals on an international.
They do,
They do make it worth
it. If you see, because there are similar dishes that pop up. So what is your favorite dish?
On a plane?
Yeah.
I've had a good steak, believe it or not. And it was it was to London. This was before our trip to for the Eagles game a couple of years ago. It was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But it was like a well-cooked steak, a filet mignon. And I lucked out.
They'll get pasta right.
Sometimes,
I've had a couple of chicken dishes that have been okay.
How about the Weetabix or whatever they
are? Weetabix.
Pain au chocolat.
But usually, the cookie's pretty tasty, I think. Like a shortbread cookie or something like that.
We're about to enter the gap. Pass out cookies. Do you like cookies?
Uh-huh.
Are you thinking about not getting the cookie, but now you're thinking about the cookie, aren't you? Because if she passes, you don't take the goddamn cookie. You're S-O-L.
Uh-huh.
I would rather go through the hassle of cooking food at home. You guys know how much I hate cooking.
Yes.
I will cook food at home. I'll put it in Tupperware and I will take
it. They let you on with that?
Food,
you have to hide it in your bra.
Not liquids. Food, yeah. And I will take, a salad or grilled chicken or whatever with me, then eat airplane.
Wait a second.
Listen, I haven't flown first class in years. I think the last time I flew first class was like 20 years ago. And yes, that was a little bit different experience. Mm-hmm. And I was going to Europe and the food was a little bit better. But no,
can prepare food and in a container, bring it with you and they'll let you on with it.
Yeah. I did. When we went to London for the Eagles game, I brought dinner with me because I was like, I'm going to be hungry and there's no way that airplane food is going to be good.
Okay.
Kathy takes a little candelabra with lighting the candle.
I bring food on board if it's a flight that I know they're probably going to only have a snack on.
Oh, okay. God.
If they're serving meals, then I won't bring them.
And I will not bring anything that smells. Don't worry.
What pisses me off is the person who comes on board and they've got something that's like super...
the smell just permeates the cabin.
There's Chickies and Pete's in a couple of different terminals at the Philadelphia International Airport, and I was on a flight with a guy who brought mussels on.
I swear.
Are you kidding me?
At least with fish, you eat it and then it's gone, but those...
The lingering shells.
The shells stick around and stink.
I was like, is this dude for real?
I'm having a Limburger sandwich.
Wow. Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Kira. Kira, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Kira?
I had to call in to tell you, my husband's a pilot, so I've flown around a lot, and I'm getting a little irritated because I love airplane food. I've loved every single meal I've ever had.
Wow.
Hospital food, too, if I don't mean to get off the topic, but in college, everyone complained about the college food at the dining hall. Me and my brother got fatter during college because we loved dining room food.
Wow. Okay.
Listen,
You have a terrible palate. That's great.
That's it. But that works to your advantage. Yeah, you're never disappointed.
Yes.
Guys, I blame it on my mom. She kind of was a bad cook. So it, made us very appreciative of everything we had.
That's great. I love it.
I had a friend who
had some
of her friends were coming into town and staying with them. When they got there, they had packed up in, the little airplane cardboard box the leftovers from their airplane food, and they brought it with them to the house, put it in her refrigerator.
No.
I promise you, this is a true story. She said, okay, what do you guys want for dinner? I'm going to go out. I'm going to cook something. And they went, no, we're okay. We still have leftovers. And they ate the leftover airplane food instead of having her cook a meal.
Wow, a fresh meal. No, I wouldn't do that.
Sometimes that happens to people. It's usually old people who will open up like a handkerchief and there'll be half an apple in it.
Right.
And I just didn't want to waste it. Waste!
Steve, they weren't old and they came with their two kids. They had the kids' leftover food.
There's a point at which food... You're making the decision. It's now formally compost.
She said to me, she goes, I'm not inviting them here anymore.
Oh, my God. I forgot what we were talking about, Steve, and you went into the old person portion. I have a nice piece of fruit in the handkerchief.
I had a nice piece of fruit. You have?
All right. So, anyhow, these airlines are offering up that food because they're trying to
get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's even more of an endorsement. It's airplane food and it's old.
All right, so obviously outdoor dining has been a necessity in a lot of cities. Chicago is offering up a cash prize of $5,000 to three city residents who come up with the best ideas for outdoor dining during winter. Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced the Winter Dining Challenge, which will be judged by local restaurants and community members. Lightfoot had tweeted out, we're asking Chicagoans to share their ideas for innovative winter outdoor dining. To adhere to COVID-19 protocols so we can support our favorite local restaurants while keeping Chicagoans healthy. People can submit their proposals online through September 7th, which must include research, a prototype, information on safety, and feasibility information, among other materials. But the winner gets $5,000, so it might be worth the research.
If you stop and think about all that has to go into, though, so I can see you running, the heaters, the outdoor heaters and the heat cannons and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, but when you're in the dead of a Chicago winter,
what
are you going to do outside?
Well, the dead of a Pennsylvania winter.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I went to this restaurant a week or two ago called At the Table. It's in Wayne. I'm happy to give them a plug, and they had a great outdoor setup, right?
Yes.
And it was sort of in the median, in the middle of Wayne, on the street.
Right.
And it was really well done. But I'm concerned about restaurants like that in the fall and in the winter.
Well, especially when you're talking about when you say, okay, you can open 25%. 25% isn't going to be worth it for most restaurants. It's ridiculous.
It's actually funny because they've been able to expand outdoors, it's a relatively small restaurant. So they've been able to serve more people, which is great. For now. So what are they going to do? I mean, it probably can last until October, maybe Thanksgiving.
Listen, I would say if you have the proper stuff in effect, and if you have will they sort of bend the rules as far as outdoor fire pits and things of that nature?
I'm curious.
Will they allow you to set your table on fire?
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's be innovative.
Yes.
Here.
Well, Nick pulled up this news story, and it shows these people sitting in essentially this little geodesic dome, which is covered by some type of material. That, is your own little food bubble, I guess, of sorts. So maybe they can work out things like that. Who knows? But the winner who will be announced in mid-September will be chosen in three categories: outdoor, standalone structures, indoor adjacent spaces, and cultural shifts making winter dining more appealing. So they're working on it. They're trying to get some good ideas. We'll see. All right, what else do we have? Let's talk specific. Let's get into fast food. Shake Shack has brought back its hot chicken sandwich, which features a fried chicken breast, which is dusted with a spicy pepper blend and topped with a cherry pepper slaw and pickles on a potato bun.
Was this a big one of those everyone going nuts for sandwiches that I missed?
Not that I remember.
The Popeyes was a big one.
Yeah, and then that led to a surge in trying to innovate chicken sandwiches at other restaurants.
It's a disgrace.
yes, I know, Gene.
Not a fan.
We need to be moving away from this type
Absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely. Save this majestic bird.
They've also added three new limited edition menu items. Hot chicken bites.
Oh.
Sorry, Jesus.
Killing me.
Hot spicy fries. And hot spicy cheese fries.
Well, those are all right.
All which feature the spicy pepper blend.
Shake Shack's great.
I love it.
I have not been in a long time, I should revisit it.
I think I do have a Popeye's story that goes in tandem.
Is it about chicken?
It is. I'm sorry, Gene. So the fast food chain Popeye's announced that in honor of its wildly popular chicken sandwich, which was launched in August of 2019, they've started a countdown clock to 2021. They released a statement.
They're releasing a new chicken sandwich?
Statement that says, humanity can all agree that 2020 is out of control. Remember the times 2019 where all we had to worry about was getting our hands on a sold out Popeye's chicken sandwich. So yeah, they rolled out its end of the year Times Square countdown. So I guess.
Okay.
Oh, it says the gimmick ran throughout the month of August. I don't know.
So it's over.
It may be.
Thank God. Thank God.
I don't think they had taken it off the menu, had they?
No. It's still there. It's still there.
Have you had? That's
dumb.
Oh yeah.
How does it compare to the Chick-fil-A? Can you get real on me, him?
It's really, really hard because I prefer the spicy chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. I just discovered that I probably like the regular chicken sandwich at Popeye's more than the spicy chicken sandwich because the spicy chicken sandwich is only just a spicy sauce.
It's so your final decision, you savage?
it's a tie. But the Popeye's chicken is, it's crispier. The bread on the outside is crispier.
I love Popeye. If you're eating just chicken, I love Popeye's chicken. The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is always a home run for me.
You know what's a dark horse? Is the spicy chicken at Wendy's.
Is it
good? Really? Yeah, the number six is my go-to at Wendy's.
Preston, what used to rock, and I know we're getting to the chicken guy in a little bit, but the Arthur Treacher's. I think we might have mentioned this. Arthur Treacher's used to have batter fried chicken.
Do they still exist, the Arthur Treacher's?
I think somebody told us there was one.
Okay. Is there one in the airport or something?
Probably.
Like that?
And they don't even know it's there. But their chicken was fantastic.
My favorite chicken was actually Long John Silver. So you had another fish place.
Yes.
It's because their batter is so good.
It's probably the batter that has all the seafood residue on it. Yeah,
maybe. Kath?
No, I was going to say all of these are, I'm sure, delicious. But like, I have a hard time going to a fast food restaurant just because my body can't take it. Like, I need to watch my calories.
Right.
So I went to Bryn and Dane's yesterday.
What is that?
It's like a takeout restaurant, a little bit more.
Never heard of it.
It's like fast casual, but it's kind of like Honey Grow a little bit. It's that style of food.
It's supposed to be like a healthier option. They do a lot of smoothies and. Yeah. Is it a chain?
There's a few of them.
What's it called? I'm sorry.
Bryn and Dane's. Bryn.
Bryn and Dane's.
Yeah, two people's names. Okay. Like Bryn Mawr.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And Dane's Goldberg.
Right. But I'll be honest. So I like it. It's okay. It is healthier food. It's okay. The smoothies are good. You know, it's nothing to like write home about.
Yeah.
But I was starving yesterday. Was rushing, and I was like, I'm gonna go try this. And they had these chicken strips. It's teriyaki chicken strips with some sort of breading on it.
Sounds good.
I'm almost positive. I read that it was 300 calories for the entire serving that you
That's
got.
That's good,
That's
too.
Good.
They were delicious.
Delicious.
So I was so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, I found a fast food I can just pick up and
okay,
go.
So you can keep your figure, right?
Yeah.
Murderer.
the thing with me and chicken is that There are sometimes I can get really grossed out by the texture.
When the head's still on?
No, no, I won't even touch it if the head's still
smiling
on.
Smiling at me.
Sometimes
will it ruin the whole thing and you can't eat the rest?
I can't.
Yeah,
And if I get a bad bite on the first one, it'll ruin the
gristle,
whole.
Gristle, and I agree 1,000%. I know some people who love gristle.
I'll gnaw it right off the bone.
And Preston, my dad will
get a little piece of cartilage in there and chew on it for
my dad while. Will eat the chicken's pumping heart and dab his mouth with the feathers.
We used to eat, now, growing up in the South for a time, I did because I lived in South Carolina for a bit, we used to eat chicken livers all the time, man. Fried chicken livers. That's good
I'm
for you, right?
Faint.
I know.
I know chicken livers are very popular, but to me,
so
that
kills
it. So
we would eat other parts of the chicken than the standard, you know.
But I'm straight
leg and
white
calf.
Meat. I don't like the dark meat. It's too oily for me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And so I'm very, very precise.
Wings and thighs and legs tasty.
Butts and nuts. Do you ever have a...
Just a box of butts and nuts, please? You want just chicken asses and testicles?
Yes. Yep. Chicken testicles? They don't have chicken testicles.
Of course they do.
I love
it. Big hairy balls.
That's great. A box of butts and nuts.
Well, if you're going to go through the process of slaughtering the thing, at least
use all of
it. Do it the honor of using it all.
Oh, my God. Did you guys ever have the Purdue Shortcuts chicken? It's basically already cooked
and cut up
seasoned chicken.
It's good for throwing into salads and stuff like that. Yeah,
right.
Or wraps or things along those lines.
Yeah. I used to love those. Mm-hmm. And then... Then came that night, and now I can't touch them. I just don't like the texture of them. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like...
You get one bad... Look, again, I completely understand. Yeah. I told you, in one fell swoop, I eliminated ziti off my menu for decades. And then it got back in. You had that one defining incident with food, and it'll kill it.
I'm lucky texture is never, in any food, has never been the problem.
Well, gristle for flavor. Me is texture. And to me, in my mouth, it's like hardened snot.
What is?
Gristle.
Gristle, okay. Yeah, texture's never been a problem. But taste, if you know, there's certain strong tastes, I'm like,
okay.
Uh-uh.
I hear you,
yeah. Okay, with the chicken thing, I wanted to play some audio.
Yeah.
There was a guy, his name is Ander Christensen. Of Lincoln, Nebraska. He recently addressed a city council meeting to draw attention to the most important problem facing the world today. And do we have the whole thing?
There's a couple of clips.
So which one do you want? I got the whole thing. Okay, here it is.
So because it's a well thought out argument that he has.
I agree with him too.
So here is what this hero had to say.
I promise I won't take up too much of your time here. My name is Ander Christensen. I live at 1212 Twin Ridge Road. Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
Excuse me. I love that he's people from laughing.
Oh, wait, that was him saying, excuse me,
I'm sorry, I'm trying to make a point here. He's being tongue-in-cheek.
He's joking. But his presentation is really well done.
And his argument is excellent.
And it is!
I propose that we as a city remove the name Boneless Wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one. Nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless.
He is 100% right. Yep. Now, I use the nomenclature that he despises. When they come in and they say, and I'll ask for... you know, if somebody's we're doing a meat and eat, can they bring boneless chicken wings? Because I prefer those.
Yeah.
I like the chicken wings with the buffalo sauce.
Yeah, you know? So it's buffalo chicken tenders.
It's
what this guy is saying.
Yes, exactly.
So here we go.
I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three. We need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash. We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand, and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long, and we know it. Because we feel it in our bones.
There's a button on it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to see if Marissa left this added in part in the end here.
Thank you. Okay. Hold it down, please.
I would like to just comment here. For the record, that's my son.
That's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well done, American hero, Mr. Andrew Christensen. Of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow. I do love the buffalo chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
or
the boneless wings. Now I think
that guy's a hero, right?
What I'm wondering though, what I think he might have wrong is I think the boneless chicken wings, it might be dark meat that they process
is that what it is? Okay.
Now I'm not 100% sure, right. But I thought if you're going to put wing in there, it should at least be dark meat.
So what is when you have a classic chicken wing? You're having the chicken wing?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
It's the actual wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you can order and I forgot the term for the chicken breast. It still has the wing on it.
Knockers.
No, not knockers.
chicken knockers.
And it's usually that first really meaty part of the chicken wing.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are actual wings. And I love when we have turkey and the wing is probably my favorite part on there.
Oh God, a rotisserie chicken with the breast, that is just, I love the white meat, and that's, to me, that's it. And then it's probably waste. Fortunately, my wife does like the dark meat, and we'll finish that off. So we're not wasting food.
If I'm not getting my buffalo chicken dip from What a Crock Meals,
you're getting it on the street.
No, I'm making it. I am not getting it on the street. I'm making it at home, and I'm doing it with rotisserie chicken. I think that's the best way to go is go buy a pre-made rotisserie chicken, take all the chicken off of that, and
that's
use
very
that.
Smart. Yeah. I like that.
You guys would hate this, but my favorite part of a rotisserie chicken is the back meat.
It's the butt.
The butts and nuts.
I love it, yeah.
Box of butts
box
and
of
nuts.
Butts, butts and nuts. But I will flip it because when we get a rotisserie chicken, I will take it apart. I will essentially cut every piece off.
Smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Oh, yeah. It's my regular Saturday night thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah.
I will take
that chicken over.
Every bit of meat off of that carcass and then just essentially throw the bones away or what's left. But I will make sure that I go through the back and take all those little pieces off because the way it takes in the most fat is the most flavorful.
My mouth is watering right now during this conversation.
Thinking about tonguing a chicken.
I am, yeah. Steve, I'll take one. I will mount my mouth on the breast and just start chewing the meat. No, you know what makes really good? Really good rotisserie chicken, believe it or not, Acme. They're awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Acme's chicken and then the herb rotisserie chicken.
It's so good.
My favorite chicken sandwich, I said before, has no chicken in it, the Hip City Veg chicken.
Right.
But if you're going to rock a chicken and a rotisserie chicken, you go no further than the Acme rotisserie chicken.
Dude, I can't walk through that section anymore because every time I'm a sucker for it, all right, I'm taking three of these home.
Okay. All right, well, anyhow, these are things from the Connoisseur's file, so I appreciate you listening in. And,
the Connoisseur Labor Day Edition.
Bon appetit.
Bony appetite.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we are going to get in the bizarre file. Don't forget, we have some great guests on this morning. Kevin Nealon will be joining us. Star of The Boys. He plays Homelander. Anthony Starr will be joining us. And John David Washington, who is the lead role in Tenet, will be on the show as well. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, gang. It's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead. Pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with. So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
All right, we need to get to the Bizarre File, so let's do it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning the B-File is brought to you by your local Deeds and Watts from Real Philly Delis. They're open for takeout, by the way. Taste four generations of family recipes made with love, and show your support for local business, realphillydeli.com. Deeds and Watson, it's family thing since 1939. A 19-year-old Floridian man was arrested, or no, a Floridian woman, I should say, was arrested after she pulled her pants down and urinated in front of a cop car. It made matters worse on her way to jail when she had allegedly offered to perform a sex act on the patrolman in exchange for her Juul e-cigarette.
Oh, man.
Madison Ann Bryant.
That's all she wanted?
Was charged on Sunday with disorderly intoxication and offering a bribe to a public servant, which is a felony, by the way.
Give me the Hummer.
cops discovered Bryant around 2:20 a.m. sitting in the median. Bryant explained that she had exited a nearby truck after arguing with the male driver about their relationship issues.
Is she a lot lizard?
No. While her 22-year-old beau was getting busted for drunk driving, Bryant, who appeared to be heavily intoxicated, was not facing arrest. However, as Bryant waited with deputies for a ride home, she stated she needed to use the bathroom and wished to go on the side of the road. After a cop said he would instead drive her to a gas station to use the restroom, Bryant, quote, pulled her pants down and urinated directly in front of a squad car, gripping the vehicle's push bar as traffic passed by.
This is very handy.
Upon pulling her pants back up, Bryant was arrested for disorderly intoxication. En route to the county jail, Bryant repeatedly asked a sheriff's deputy to give back her Juul vaping device, which was confiscated post-arrest. Bryant said that she used the Juul for anxiety. And at one point, the deputy reported, "Madison asked me if I was married and had children." After the cop responded to that query, Bryant allegedly stated that she, quote, "was not trying to F that up," and that she would suck my D if I gave her her Juul. After being offered this by Madison, I did not reply and continued to the jail. She was then charged with a felony bribery count for the illicit offer.
I'll make it extra sloppy for you.
Bryant, whose occupation is listed as real estate, and the arrest paperwork is scheduled for arraignment. A drunk farmer took a combine harvester out for a joyride, managed to flip the farm vehicle over with his bad driving.
How do you flip a combine?
Those things are gigantic. Michael Carr is said to have totaled the huge green piece of machinery after getting behind the wheel in Berthold, North Dakota, while under the influence.
You're probably talking like $150,000, $200,000 or something like that, right?
Easily a couple hundred grand, I would imagine. Carr, who is originally from Seattle, allegedly crashed the John Deere combine on Monday and was arrested shortly after. He's also... Ow.
I know.
That was loud.
I felt that.
He also is accused of driving the farm machinery on a revoked license.
Ah.
Police shared a mugshot of a bleary-eyed Carr and multiple photos of the wrecked combine. It was photographed on its roof front window smashed out.
We have the picture up in the studio. How the hell did he do that?
The vehicle appears to have flipped over on the side of a flat road right on the edge of a relatively level field. So, Steve, it was flat. How did he get it over like that? Police have yet to comment on how it crashed in such a dramatic fashion. All right, listen to this evil son of a bitch. An Arizona man has been arrested after he allegedly faked having terminal ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, to scam sympathetic donors into giving him a free motorized wheelchair, free truck repairs, and fundraise for $9,000 speech device. Christopher Wade Nelson was arrested following a 7-month investigation on multiple felony charges. At the time of his arrest, he was out on pretrial release for pending charges related to another similar scam in 2016, where he allegedly faked having pancreatic cancer to defraud his high school friends for donations.
So this is his thing, his jaunt.
In that case, he reportedly received $30,000 in donations from high school alumni over a 5-year period and sent emails saying that he died by suicide. After being released, he fraudulently claimed to have ALS to dupe people into giving him free perks. Police say Nelson engaged in the schemes between May 2018 and May 2020 to delay his pending criminal trial. They said he used Instagram to ask the owner of an auto shop to repair his 1951 Chevy truck for free so he could take one last ride to his terminal ALS. He also reportedly fabricated, forged, and with intent to defraud documents from the Mayo Clinic. Physicians there submitted through his legal counsel, faking a terminal illness to avoid court appearances. The Mayo Clinic says it didn't sign the documents.
The amount of work you have to go through to try to keep your lie going, you know, it's just insane that he's juggling all this bull crap.
He also used social media to get a physical therapist and real ALS patients to conduct a $9,000 fundraiser to get him a speech device, it is alleged. Now, in February 2020, when he appeared in court, he arrived in a motorized wheelchair, and his attorney said he could no longer speak. But police surveillance video of his home shows Nelson walking. He was reportedly seen washing and driving a car, doing yard work, heavy lifting, and dancing.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Because of my disease, I can no longer speak.
Police say Nelson was checked out by jail doctors who confirmed he does indeed not have ALS.
Wait a minute.
Hang on a second.
You just said those words.
Yeah, all right.
I did not.
And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. A lot of guests on the show this morning, stuff to give away as well. We want you to stay with us. We will be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Every year, I assume, this group puts out a list. It's called Big 7 Travel, and they reveal the top 50 sexiest accents in the United States.
The top 50 sexiest accents.
Yeah, in the U.S., because we've seen internet polls about international.
Yes,
you know,
and we all kind of have our favorites.
Yeah, I love Scottish accent.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. But, yeah, everybody's got their one that they just, for one reason or another, they find it to be sexy. So I looked at this list, and it's got a nice description. That's what I like about this. Is it just doesn't give you a region and say, you know, this is number 25. It gives you a description of these accents and
why they feel they're the sexiest.
Not necessarily, but just how what it means.
Like, okay, all
like,
right.
Like what is a Philly accent? And,
all right.
And then they start to give you some examples of that.
We had a linguistics expert on a while ago. She'd written a book about how the local language and dialects and things had formed. It was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I can roll through some of these if you guys want. And we'll start with number 50. It's the New Jersey accent. It's at the bottom of the barrel.
All right.
And it was number 49 last year. It says North Jerseyan. It says think coffee and dropping the R's. South Jerseyan is more like the Philly accent, but not close enough to bring up Jersey's overall sex appeal.
Yeah, so I think that's they're very similar, obviously, because of the nature of where we are. We're juxtaposed right next to each other.
Yeah, but, so the example that it gives is coffee, spelled C-A-W-F-E-E, coffee, instead of coffee. Okay, number 49 is Long Island.
Yes, it's a horrible accent. I know it well. I grew up with it all my life.
But they're saying this is one of the best ones?
No, these are the worst.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the bottom of the barrel.
Bottom of the barrel.
There's some slight consolation from for people from Long Island this year, as they no longer have the least sexy accent. So that was last year.
They went up
one notch.
All right, so Steve, I don't detect a New York accent on you at all. Your wife, however, I can hear it. It's not thick. It's just when she hits certain words.
Right. So she has a Long Island accent.
Okay. Yeah, yours is pretty generic, and I think mine in is as well. I'm a little more Midwest, but I have a pretty straight standard American.
And your dad has a little bit of an accent.
My dad's got a Southern. He's got that. You alluded that.
My dad has a very antiseptic accent. There is really, you can't detect his origin.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's from Long Island.
No, and so that's where I got it. My mother was also very non, though she was born and bred New Yorker, she didn't have a pronounced accent.
Were you, did you once have an accent?
No.
No, you never did.
No, I never did. Where you're.
It's hard to live there and not come out with that accent.
No, I can do it no problem. It's, you know, it's everything like, that's the standard, you know, so let me tell you something. He's wearing his underwears when he, and so the pluralization of things that are singular and all that stuff is standard. There's a similar sound to, and you'll agree with this, to from a Long Island accent to a Philadelphian accent, a classically Philadelphian accent. There are commonalities.
I had a thick Southern accent when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, and then when we moved to Missouri and I was about, we'd lived there twice, so anyhow. By the time I was in about sixth grade, as the time I got to seventh grade, it was gone. Because of the people, my friends, right, yeah, around all the time, I started to take on their pronunciation.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I will notice you say things differently than most people
like
hear.
Schedule.
You do not need, but no, there's one word in particular that I hear you say way different than everybody else here. We say lawyer, and you say lawyer.
As in law.
Lawyer.
L-A-W.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... You say lawyer?
Yeah.
Lawyer.
Yeah,
lawyer.
There are several things. You know, I also say is tournament instead of tournament.
Yeah.
Tour, the word tournament. I say tournament.
I say tournament as well.
But I hear, but in fact, it was Craig Shoemaker. He's like, how do you say the word tournament? And I say tournament. And he goes, yeah, he's like, I think we in the East got that right because it's spelled T-O-U-R. Tournament. And he's like, I always hold that up as we got that one right.
Right.
So,
Steve, how do you say the name of the city that's surrounded by a lot of Amish people in South Central Pennsylsylvania?
Lancaster?
Yeah, you say that differently than most people.
I say that, Lancaster.
You say Lancaster.
Yeah, you say Lancaster. Steve says Lancaster.
When I first moved here, somebody told me that. They're saying, you're saying Lancaster. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, no, it's Lancaster.
Right.
And so I adopted that.
Right, and we've talked about this before. But
somebody told me that, Nick, once. No.
But I tell you what, I ain't saying Wooder.
Wooder. Yeah.
No,
you're not gonna say Wooder.
No, but that's an interesting delineation.
These aren't, to me, they're never criticisms. You know, I find it fascinating, and I like accents. I think that it tells a story. It talks about where you're from. When accents go away, I find that a little bit sad.
You're right. Do you know it's another point of delineation? I think also, like, from New York, if you're from out of New York, you'll say Albany. And if you're in New York, you say Albany.
Yeah.
And the Albany with one L.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd think it'd be Al.
But that's the proper pronunciation. That's different than saying Wooder. That's an accent. That's not proper. That's
correct.
You know what I mean?
Even with the word Wooder, I think it like a classic Philly accent, you almost don't even hear the W. It's almost like Wooder. Like Wooder.
It's almost like Wooder.
Wooder ice. Wooder. Yeah, you almost dropped the W.
Almost.
Wooder ice. Okay.
Can I have
Let me go through some of these other, what they consider to be the sexiest accents. They were at the bottom of the barrel. Number 40 is Floridian. It says, not including the sexy twang of Miami, the Florida accent is a baffling mix of Midwest and Northeast with a hint of Southern. A sandwich is a sandwich, and the people have spoken. It is nowhere near the top 10. Minnesotan is number 47. Throw in plenty of Minnesota Yas and Hans, and you get that famous Fargo accent, still one of the least sexy accents in the USA. 46 is Pittsburgh, and they're
poop knives.
It says, here's the example. Yin's going downtown. I mean, are you going downtown?
Yeah. Right.
Yin's going downtown.
I've never spent any time in Pittsburgh or with Pittsburghians.
I went to a college in the middle of Pennsylvania, and it was pretty evenly split between people from Philly area and people from Pittsburgh area. And it's noticeable. Most of Pennsylvania sounds more like Pittsburghians than Philadelphians. Right.
By the way, you'll be happy to know the Philly accent ranks very high on
this
list. I was surprised. It's the main reason I brought this up.
Jersey ranks low, but Philly ranks high.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And their explanation was it's It's the North Jersey accent that,
yeah.
that is
it's almost
overdoes
New York.
It. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, how do they say, I have three testicles?
I don't know. I have three testicles.
Oh.
Some of these I'll skip over, like the Alaskan accent. Yeah. We'll never go there.
That's Canadian.
Number 44 is Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's quirky. You know, that's sort of lyrical for the year.
It says the you might have a max of a typical U.S. state might have a max of two or three dialects. Pennsylvania has five. The Pennsylvania Dutch dialect has been dying out as non-Amish younger Pennsylvania Germans tend to speak modern general American English. Then you have Appalachian. California Valley is 42nd. It says often ridiculed San Fernando Valley girl accent rose to fame in the 80s, but is still spoken by many in Southern California today. Like awesome, it says. Really? That's still a
So
thing?
Holding on? I don't know. Okay. I guess, you know, Frank Zappa's Valley Girl brought that to
yes.
light.
And then they made a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, believe it or not. The surfer clip that we play from time to time. That guy's kind of a California classic surfer dude, valley type of an accent.
Right. 41 is Southern Ohio. 40th is Providence.
Providence is basically Boston.
Okay. It says the Boston meets Brooklyn accent is hard to mimic, but clearly distinct. Listen to any episode of Jersey Shore with Pauly D, and you'll understand instantly what it sounds like.
Right. Yeah, my friends in-laws are, you know, from that area, and they add like R's to the end of things. So like his wife is Melissa, you know.
Oh, okay. Yep, absolutely.
All right, Tallahassee is 39th. Okay, we'll skip over that.
Oh, that old Tallahassee accent.
Okay, this one I don't know. 38th on this list is hoitoiter.
Hoitoiter?
Yeah. High tider or hoitoiter is the accent spoken by a small amount of people on the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
No. Interesting.
It says it's an unusual brogue that sounds a bit Australian, a bit Irish, and also a bit British.
Is that sort of their version of Cajun?
I've never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Outer Banks.
Hoitoiter.
Hoitoiter.
I'm a hoitoiter.
It's spelled H-O-I-T-O-I-D-E-R. Hoitoiter. Or
hoitoiter.
Interesting.
All right. These are the sexiest accents
just
in America.
Just attendant to my succulents.
The top 50. San Francisco is 37th. It says you might not hear it so often, what with the multicultural mix of folk now living in San Francisco. But the classic San Francisco accent is super fast with words running into each other, like, where'd you go?
Or like, where are you going to poop?
Yeah, like that.
But I'm not from San Francisco.
Not originally.
I'm an adapted son of San Francisco.
You just love that town.
I just love that title in town.
Mm-hmm.
The home of Rice-A-Roni and Alcatraz.
Let's see. 36 is the Hudson Valley.
The Hudson Valley.
So yes. That's different than a classic New York accent, I guess.
Absolutely.
It says it's basically New England English meets general American and New York State.
With just a hint of Fukushima.
I guess so. I don't know.
Different than Buffalo, which is different than Albany or Albany or
yes.
whatever. And Buffalo kind of sounds a little like a Detroit accent.
All right, here's one. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Slowly but surely dying out as younger Ohioans speak with a more general Midland accent. The classic Cincinnati accent has short A's. So class becomes class.
Huh.
The home of the Rock and Roll Museum.
Cleveland. Cleas. Yeah, that's in Cleveland. And
the home of Paris.
That's Paris.
It's a very truncated, sharp accent.
So that's 35, and number 34 is Cleveland.
Oh, mm-hmm. Home of the Rock and Roll Museum.
There we go.
Clevelanders might say they don't.
And trolleys.
That they don't know. That's San Francisco.
Well, they might have trolleys. I don't know.
Or streetcars.
They have one.
All right. So Clevelanders might say they don't have an accent, but they really do. The bad news is this accent isn't considered so hot this year, dropping down from a respectable 23rd. They speak with hard nasally A's and short O sounds that sound more like an A. So
there are a few states in this country that I have like... I'm like, why even go there? But other than just to say that I've been there. And so Ohio's one of them. I don't really have a desire to go to Ohio. However, it's right next to Pennsylvania. So I kind of feel like I need to go there.
Don't you know need to go.
Yeah.
Well, you can go. You can go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The home of Rassaroni.
You can go to Cedar Point.
Yeah.
Cedar like to ride rides.
There's Ohio's a national great. Park there. There's Cuyahoga Valley, I think it's what it's called. It's up by Cleveland. So I have to go to Ohio. I've been there, but I've driven through it, but I got to get there for the national park. But Cleveland's cool for like a day.
Yeah.
You know, see the museum, go to an Indians game, and then get the hell out.
When, obviously we're going through this pandemic, I actually thought about maybe just doing a couple of day road trip, because I also Pittsburgh, I've only driven through Pittsburgh to get to Burgesstown. So I want to like maybe go to Pittsburgh, ride my bike around there a little bit, get a little taste of the town, and then, off to Cleveland and Cincinnati and Columbus.
Mm.
And then I also have zero desire to ever go to Louisiana. Like New Orleans has zero appeal to me whatsoever.
Really? I've been to every state in the Union.
Wow.
And there's something in every state for something.
For somebody,
there's something. Case. It's the largest ball, the string, there's something.
The food in New Orleans is fantastic.
All right, I'll go for the
home of Rice-A-Roni.
The food, I know you think it...
Well, they probably have Rice-A-Roni there.
I know you think of it as mainly a booze town,
yeah.
But the food and the music are two reasons you want to go there.
The seafood is like that's the home of Paul Prudhomme.
Yeah, so you say I should probably go in July, right? That's the best time to go?
Yeah.
And Emerald's
Emerald Lagasse.
So yeah,
the home of San Francisco.
That's right. We'll stick with that. All right, 33rd on this list of we're in the least sexy right now.
Heading to the sexiest.
33rd is Milwaukee.
Oh.
And if you want to speak Milwaukeeese, you pronounce bag as bag, and add as ana.
What?
Oh, add an ana onto the end of a question. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Like saying ain't it.
Oh.
Which comes from the state's Germanic influences. And don't forget to say the city like Milwaukee instead of Milwaukee. They kind of throw out the L's. It's Milwaukee.
The home of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's Cooperstown.
The Western accent is 32nd. Generally spoken by locals in Nevada. By the way, Nevada is pronounced like that, not Nevada. If you are from out of state and you say Nevada to someone who's local... they'll know you're from out of state. So I've tried to adapt that as well and say Nevada. It sounds more kind of hokey to me saying Nevada.
It does.
But
sounds crazy.
That's the way they pronounce
Nevada,
it.
Nevada, the home of the Boston cream pie.
generally spoken by locals in Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and Wyoming, the typical Western accent is distinguished by the Cot-Cot merger, where both vowel words sound the same. So...
Huh?
So instead of caught, it'd be caught.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, caught a cold.
These are very nuanced distinctions.
Very much so.
A trained ear can hear them.
It says it comes in a little lower ranking than last year, but still proves surprisingly popular. 31st is New Orleans. New Orleans English or YAT. This name comes from the phrase, where are you at?
Oh, like... Saints fans say that too, right? And who dat and things like that.
And what dat?
There is when somebody has a very arch Cajun accent, it's almost like a foreign language to me. I find that very difficult to understand if somebody's speaking with a really heavy.
When they have this sort of that ting.
Yeah, it's barely English at that
point. Right. Wilford Brimley tries to do one in the movie Hard Target, the Jean-Claude Van Damme one.
Yeah.
I go get my shotgun.
My mom and dad lived in New Orleans, and my friend Sandy's family all comes from New Orleans. So from time to time, I'll actually say New Orleans.
Yeah.
Not New Orleans, but I'll say New Orleans.
How do they respond, Preston?
If I'm there, they'll appreciate it. New Orleans. Yeah.
Would you like some rice-a-roni?
Yeah. My buddy went to New Orleans for like a couple of days, and he started calling it New Orleans. I'm like, shut up, dude.
Well, you guys say New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that one kind of grates on me. New Orleans.
But he spent 5 days there. And he's like, yeah, New Orleans. I'm like, dude,
knock it off.
You gave me a hard time when I came back from Hawaii and I was calling Hawaii.
I know.
Because everybody there was saying Hawaii, and I started saying Hawaii.
Well, I also don't understand why,
home of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I don't understand why we, as Americans, don't call countries by the way they call countries.
Why is it different?
Why do we say Spain? It's España. That's what they call it. Why doesn't everybody call it España?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Steve, it was when I went to, it's not Edinburgh. Like, no one over there says Edinburgh. They say
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I asked the guy in a cab, and I was like, how do we say it? So, yes, when I was over there, that's how I was referring to it as. Otherwise, I'd sound like an idiot.
Birthplace of the Jacksons.
Casey, you know what?
That's Gary, Indiana.
Gary, oh. Yeah. Do you know what
the... Which I've been through!
Sorry. Do you know what the Germans call France?
No.
Frankenreich. So yeah. they take this really, like, they lengthen it.
Yeah.
They add, like, six syllables, and you're like, what? It's, and we call France
Isn't
France.
There sort of an international understanding, like, call it whatever you want.
Germans are Germans are weird, though, man.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you call the country we live in?
Estados Unidos.
No, really.
I usually say America.
I will say, I'll say the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm out and have been out of the country and I'm having a conversation with someone I don't know, I'll say I'm from the U.S.
Yeah.
I won't say America because there's North America, South America, so on.
Central America.
Central America. So
America Ferrara.
I'll say the U.S. or the States.
Because my sister-in-law, who's from Brazil, she calls it the United States.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's
Estados Unidos.
Bibliotech. That's where they keep the books.
You got it, yes. Tony.
I knew it. I know stuff.
Number 30
People
on this
say I'm dumb, but I'm not.
List of the sexiest accents is Oklahoma.
Ah, where the wind comes whipping down the plain.
The Okie dialect is a blend of Midlands, Ozark, and Deep South. Not sure you have it? Well, if you have ever used the expressions might, could, or fixin' to... you're from Oklahoma through and through.
Joe Exotic is from Oklahoma, right?
And yes. Okay. And he says fixin' too.
He's got tags.
29th is Colorado. Nick, your family lives in Colorado. They're an accent?
It's similar to like a Nevadan accent or a Western accent, but
more antiseptic.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it, Steve. And so many people have moved into Colorado.
I was going to say, is anyone even from there?
Yeah. Well, that you just raised a very good point. As people start to relocate, that's why I think it's funny. And I've mentioned this before, that in Star Trek, in centuries ahead of time, you say, I've got to go, it's like, heavy accents, and you get in the whistles that are going. That hasn't mitigated a little bit?
There's a lot of animosity in Colorado among natives towards Texans and Californians, because so many people from both of those states have moved to Colorado seeking a better way of life.
So it says here, it's recently been influenced by the California vowel shift.
There you go.
Yet still holds on to dropping the T's, so mountains becomes mountains.
Yeah.
Virginia Piedmont is 28th. It says, do the words four dogs become, it says the accent dropped on the sexy scale this year. Do the words four dogs become, foa dogs when you speak?
What?
Do you say oat? For out
what?
Or a boat for about. That sounds like Canadian a little bit there.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
It says yes. You have the semi-sexy Virginian accent.
I do like a Virginian accent. I like a Southern accent, a lilting Southern accent.
27th is Kansas. It gets a little weird here in this.
I think
25.
Yes, they're taking some liberties.
I'm going to skip through a few of these because
go to number 10.
Oh, the band, Kansas, gotcha.
I like it.
No, I'm going to go to 15 first. Okay, number 20 is Baltimore. Shut up. I'm going to go into number 15. Because,
go to 15.
Because it says St. Louis, okay? St. Louis, Missouri. In the top 15, no.
No?
No, oh my God, no. It's horrible.
Can you do a classic St. Louis accent?
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, okay, so my in-laws, my mother-in-law has the very strong St. Louis accent, which is instead of native speakers swap the AR sound R with an OR. And so the one that's used as the example is the word 40 is pronounced as farty.
Yeah.
And I kid you not.
Right.
I'm not exaggerating a little bit when you say, oh, he's 40 years old. They say that or corn. Is Karn.
Yeah. Yes, I've heard that.
We're having Karn on the cob tonight.
And you said that they add syllables too, right?
No, that's the deep Southern accent. Stepmother has that.
Oh, right. Okay.
So press becomes Preyas.
Mm-hmm.
Claire.
They add accent. So, the Missouri accent, it's no joke. It's farty far. And I remember a girlfriend I dated, her mom would say, it's my brother Jarge.
Charge.
Yeah. I mean, like, not even a little nuance. It's straight up just mispronunciation.
Charge.
Okay, now we'll jump to number 10 because we are running out of time. Kentucky, there you go.
That's home of the Taj Mahal.
That's my my stepmother. It says accents vary all over the state, but it's a southern beaut. Y'all living here apparently have a smooth drawl, long vowels that sound like a mix of Midwestern and southern tones. And it's proved to be popular moving up from 26th to 10th. Number 9 is the Northwestern accent. Found in Oregon, safe. Washington. Features of the Canadian-California vowel shift. The letter E in words like eggs sound more like egg, A, so like there, eggs.
Yeah. Pierre says eggs.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, eggs, and you have two legs.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my brother-in-law says that, but he's from...
Your brother-in-law says your eggs have two legs?
Yeah, he says legs, eggs, yeah.
Number 8 is the Maine accent, the Mainer.
I like the Maine accent. It's better and more palatable than the Boston accent.
I agree. It's a little more smooth.
Yeah.
It's not quite as arch as the Bostonian accent, and it's got a I don't know. There's something especially
moosey about it.
No,
it's down homey or friendly, you know.
Yeah,
there's warmer tones to it. Boston, they just like F.
It says here, if you're a real Mina, you drop your R's, go to yoga class instead of yoga.
That's my vagina.
And add in wicked to make every adjective extra powerful. Number 7 on the list, the Philadelphia accent.
It's interesting that it's found in the sexy top 10.
Here's what it says. One of the world's most unique dialects is in the Delaware Valley, the infamous Philly talk. The words fight and bike sound more like foit and boik. while very becomes very in this thick accent. But hey, if it's good enough for Will Smith, it says here. but they didn't touch on the most obvious one, which is water.
Yeah.
Water. So yeah, it ranks us in the top.
That's 10. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I would have thought it would. If the Bostonian accent ends up in the top 5, I'll blow my brains out.
Well, that's why I
hand him a gun, folks.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why this list is a little suspect.
I like it.
This is presented by that wine company again from yesterday.
Number 6 is Californian. And it says it sounds similar to general American, meaning the American ears hears it as it isn't an accent at all, but we're here to tell you it is. Vowels are super long, so yep, dude really does become dude, but it sounds hella sexy according to this. All right, number 5 is Chicago's accent. Some hate it, but turns out a lot love it. Words like butt and cut sound more like bought and caught, and you're not looking at a picture, you're looking at a picture.
It's like butts.
Yeah
mm-hmm. Butts and nuts.
Yeah.
But earlier in the list, I saw that there's a Chicagoan accent. I didn't know how that was different than
earlier
Chicago.
On this list.
Yeah, you didn't. You skipped over it, so I apologize for making you go back. But it's probably in the 20s or so.
Huh? Looking for it.
Next page, I think.
Don't see.
But what does it say about Chicago? Sure. You just said it, right?
I'll find it for you.
Same thing.
Around here. Yeah. All right. Number 4 on this list is the Alabama accent. It is sweet. I went to a Waffle House in Alabama.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I walk in, and the gal working there is, hey, sweetheart, how you doing this morning?
Right,
you know, and just giving me that whole sugar and everything. And I'm I'm like, okay.
I'm on the radio.
I'm on the radio. Does that impress you? So it's strongly rotic, it says. Erotic. I don't know what that means. With extra,
like erotic?
I guess erotic.
Like homoerotic.
R-H-O-T-I-C. With extra R's added to words that don't need them, like warsh. My mother-in-law says that.
Yes, absolutely.
A slow standard. Drawl, plenty of y'alls and dropping the N-G at the end of words. Yes,
I like that.
Number 3 is Bostonian.
Wow, man.
One of America's most imitated and parodied accents, Boston almost comes out on top of the country's sexiest accents. And yes, just like Mock Wahlbog, locals really do say Pak Ya Ka in Havid Yad. So, I don't know. I guess it can be endearing.
It depends on the person it's coming from.
But I went to a baseball game one time in Baltimore, and dude sitting behind me, they were playing the Red Sox, and dude sitting behind me just kept going, come on, Sax! Let's go, Sax! And I just wanted to turn around and punch him in the face.
However, there was that commercial with John Krasinski and Captain America.
And
they're talking about the cast packing itself, and it's a really great commercial.
All right, we got to hurry up here because we have a guest coming up.
Come on!
Second on the list is New York.
Yeah.
New York accent, one of the most recognizable dialects.
There are multiple accents even within that. There are different borough accents, and I'm not talking about the animal.
You could say that for Philadelphia, too. I mean, you can tell the difference between South Philly and somebody from Delco.
Yep. Brooklyn, Bronx, absolutely. Queens.
And it says New York speakers have long vowels, short A's, fast and hypernasal, yet quite charming at times. Number one on this list, and then we'll move along, is the Texan accent. It says, who can resist a slow Texan drawl? Not us and not our community. Clearly, as this is the second year in a row that Texan has come out on top. The typical Texan accent is a southern accent with a twist, with strong R's and plenty of howdies.
Yeah, when I go out to visit my dad, it has that make you feel good sort of sound.
Yep. So there you go. Take it for what it is. Yeah. Just an interesting peek into we as Americans and our different dialects. What?
It was Chicano, not Chicano.
Chicano. Okay, yeah, not okay. Chicano.
They're from that part. Yeah, this part of Chicago.
Right.
All right, man.
We got to take a break because we have a list of guests coming up, including Kevin Nealon when we return, and also Anthony Starr, who plays Homelander on The Boys, a show that Steve and I love.
Yes.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, you know.
Because I ran late this morning. I slept in, and in my quick horse bath that I took over the sink, I mainly just took care of my hair and I forgot to throw on some deodorant this morning.
Uh-oh.
And as I leaned over to grab my copy here, I smelled my own armpit. And my body odor to me smells like mustard and onions mixed together for some reason. I'm like, first of all, I want a hot dog.
Yeah. What you smell?
And then I gestured to Casey my armpit, and then he pointed his armpit like, me? Am I smelling? I'm like, no. So he reached into his magic cabinet, and he gave me some deodorant.
So you can keep that now, right? Once you give, thank you, Steve.
Right. I knew that was coming.
Shut up.
No.
I knew that was coming, and I'm so glad you're on my side.
We wiped off the other layer.
Yeah, he just took it and wiped it off. You realize it doesn't ruin the entire
You
bar.
Realize that it would be yours if it was mine. I'd be like, here you go. This is yours. It is a gift. Do not return this.
Your logic is so messed up.
It's disgusting. Your armpits smell like mustard and onions. Why would I want it back?
If I ever lend you deodorant, you can keep it.
Okay,
it's
you.
An entire bar of deodorant. You realize as you use that, it takes a layer off, right?
It's
so we just wiped off some of that layer.
Yeah.
Has
oh my God, you guys have problems. Okay.
We're wasting time here.
Our next guest is on the line. He is ready to go, and he is he has a special that is streaming. It's coming up on the 12th, and it is called Behind the Mask. And
I've got to get this. I love him. I love his stand-up.
Been in our studio many times. You can get tickets at rushtix.com. By the way, please welcome Mr. Kevin Neal.
Yeah!
To the show this morning. Hi, Kevin.
Wow, good morning. I can't believe all the bickering in your chair.
Well, let's pose it to you, Kevin. Yeah. If you were to lend a deodorant stick to a friend, would you then take that deodorant stick back, or would you gift it to that friend?
Well, I guess it depends on the friend, but I'd probably gift it to them unless I was on a camping trip or something.
Okay. All right. So
what we did was we wiped the top layer off after I used it, and you're good to go after that.
Yeah, you could do that like the chapstick thing. Just kind of rub it on your butt.
just rub the chapstick on your butt to get that layer off. I think that makes sense. See, you're always thinking. So let me ask you, Kevin, obviously you have the special coming up, and it's Behind the Mask, and obviously we're living in a mask world. Have you been faring in the past couple of months during the pandemic? How's your mask game? How's your germaphobe game? What's going on with you?
My germaphobe game is good. I've never been a germaphobe, so I'm good with that. The mask game is right on spot. I haven't gotten COVID. I've been tested several times. I used to always get tested for COVID, even before the pandemic.
That's how prepared.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But I've been kind of, like a lot of people, I've discovered some hobbies that needed a little more attention. And they finally were able to get that attention. You know, like I've gotten into drawing a lot. Painting.
Let me tell you something. Your artwork. I hopped on your Twitter account this morning just to pick up some extra stuff to talk about. It's sensational.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have an Instagram too that is solely artwork. It's called Kevin Nealon Artwork, and I just love doing it.
You have a picture of Harry Dean Stanton that is one of the best I've ever seen, and you're capturing.
I love this style. So it appears you're working in oils, correct?
It's actually digital art.
Is it?
2 years ago. Yeah, because I love doing caricatures all my life, pen and paper, you know, and I would usually do them in black and white, just with a pencil or a pen, and sometimes I color them in. But 2 years ago, you know, I started following these caricature artists on Instagram, and they're really good. They have training and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw one guy I really liked a lot, Paul Moyse, his name is, and he teaches in England via Skype. So 2 summers ago, I took Skype lessons from him in England, and I learned how to use a digital tablet and all that stuff. And I'm really, I just have so much fun with it, and people seem to like it. So it's kind of like a way to do stand-up because it's exaggerating. You take somebody's portrait and you exaggerate it. You know,
but what you're doing, like
comedy.
We're looking at like Brian May, but there's a key to seeing what we see and those things that, you know, the great caricature artists can nail that those one or two defining attributes that immediately jump out at you and you're doing it. So are you finding Zen in this?
I really am, because you have to kind of relax your mind when you look at somebody's picture, like a reference picture, like Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
I found a picture of her where she shows she has a really long neck, you know, and very interesting eyes. So I just kind of relaxed and looked at it, and I thought, this one, she will have a very long, she's almost lizard-like. And she has a long neck, and I made the eyes a lot bigger than her real eyes.
I love this. I love this artwork. As a fan of a longtime fan of Mad Magazine, you know, their ability to capture the essence of someone that way is kind of a gift. So have you sold any of these? Have you done any of these specifically for celebrities who have requested them?
I have. I've done a few for people that have requested it, but I didn't charge them. I'm embarrassed. I wouldn't even know how much to charge for something like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not really what I'm known for doing, and I'm almost like it's almost embarrassing for me to say give any price, even if it was $5. Was $5 okay? Is that too much?
Well, let me say you're doing exactly what annoys a lot of us, because at the beginning of this pandemic, and we've talked about this, everyone in the quarantine. Okay, I'm going to learn cello. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn how to sculpt. You actually did it and are freaking awesome at it, which makes us feel worse.
Well, I'm sure you have something that you can be good at.
I have nothing.
Like yodeling?
Yodeling, yeah.
Yodeling, thank you. I'll try that. So
I always wonder if somebody's like a child prodigy, but they never really sat at a piano, so they never realized that they were a child prodigy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, so it's interesting that you mentioned that, and we're also talking about your art, is because my friend that I met in college, he, as just an elective in the second semester of his senior year, he took an art class, and as it turns out, he's an amazing artist. Really? And I'm like, you never doodled? Or he's like, no, I never doodled.
Wow.
He had no clue until he was almost 22 years old that he had this ability. So, yeah.
Well, here's the cool thing. My son is online school now, you know, like everybody else mostly. And his first class on Friday is digital art. So I'm going to, be outside the frame, and I'm going to start taking lessons. I'm gonna be a great teacher.
Sure.
Good
yeah.
for you.
I was never a doodler, but I was a diddler, and I did work on that during...
And you're a virtuoso.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a master.
Master diddler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin, speaking of Zen moments, I love hiking with Kevin. It's a fascinating series. It's you with friends and comedians, and you go to some really cool places with some really cool people. I'm curious as to what is the top of your list, what is at the top of your list for your next hike?
Well, that's a really loaded question right there, because I've done 3 seasons, about 85 hikes, and, you know, I was kind of waiting for the pandemic to end before I do any more, because, you know, I don't want the interviewee to be like 6 feet behind me while I'm talking to them, you know?
Right.
But here's the thing. I got a call from my manager saying that this writer-producer from Modern Family really liked a hiking show and was interested in turning it into more of a TV show for a network, like a Curb kind of a thing based around each hike, you know, and involve my family and, you know, it'd be a show. So we've been working on that pitch, and I think we sold it, and we're excited about
that. Cool.
So that would add some budget, right? Like you get to go to some cooler, more exotic, far away places?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But it would be kind of, you know, it would be kind of a COVID-friendly kind of a situation because we'd be outside shooting, you know, and there'd be other camera people like far away shooting. And
yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, there definitely could be some like far away places like Nepal or Hawaii or something, you know.
Well, listen, I mean, this is it's such a cool thing. It is. I love hiking as well and a daily hike. But in the times that you go out and you go hiking, have you ever been in a situation where you're like where you perhaps got injured or got away from you or, you know, because if it's something that you do, obviously you do a lot, you do by yourself. You can encounter that. Have you ever encountered a rather difficult situation?
I've never gotten hurt or I've never been with anybody that's gotten hurt. I did experience deja vu on one hike once, and I thought, geez, that's really strange, you know? Like, I had to sit down for a minute. But I do see a lot of, you know, not a lot, but occasionally, it's not unusual that I'll see a rattlesnake out there, especially this time of the year.
Wow. Yeah, that's not fun.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Kevin, we're excited you got the special. It's live streaming September 12th, 10 o'clock. Tickets available at rushtix.com. And there's VIP access if you want to get chart outs or chart. That's a thing we do on our show called chart outs. You wouldn't understand. You do shout outs during this, right?
I like it. Yeah. So it's on rushtix.com. And it's 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Saturday, September 12th. And it's only going to be that one night. So it's live streaming, and Brad Paisley is going to be.
Yeah, we lost him. Yeah. He had a time limit, and they hung up on us. Okay, all right.
That's how you do it. You just hang up.
But that's okay because it was Kevin Nealon, by the way, if you're just tuning in, because the person we've been dying to talk to.
Oh yeah.
Since we heard the announcement of the second season, which is tomorrow, by the way, show that Steve and I fell in love with immediately when the first season came around. I've like one more episode to go as I'm rewatching the first season. Is called The Boys, and he plays this character that is just...
He's phenomenal.
Wow, yeah. Just amazing. And the character is Homelander for those who watch The Boys. Please welcome Anthony Starr to our show this morning. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, people. How are you?
We are wonderful. We're so excited for season two. You're talking to some hardcore fanboys here, Anthony.
Okay, well, I was listening to your last segment, and I got freaked out by snakes. So
Homelander's afraid of snakes?
I'm a little shaky right now.
we'll bring you back. We're huge fans. The show is, I think it's going to, it did well the first season. I think it's going to explode the second season because there is literally nothing like it on television. And you as Homelander, you are that bizarre, you know, you capture that all-American superhero look, but you scare the F out of me when you get that look because, man, you just nail it. There are times when you'll look at the other, of the seven of the other superheroes, and they're super in just a couple of ways, and you'll give a look, and mother effer, it's...
They cave.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's... Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, Anthony. It's such an interesting character because Homelander can do whatever he wants to do.
Anything.
Yet he is under the thumb of the corporate juggernaut, and that puts an interesting twist on a character like that as an actor, I would imagine.
It sure does, and that relationship with Stillwell, aka. The lovely
Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue. She's amazing. It's very Oedipal. It's very weird. It's very twisted. And like any good mummy figure, and I think of my own real mother, you know, you're talking about the looks that I give people. That is a true homage to my mom. Because I tell you what, that woman can look through you like ice, and you know you've done wrong. So, you know, we're just really excited. The first season... got some fans, and second season is better, so hopefully it'll continue.
Well, what's great is that it combines, so we tell people, you're not going to hear language, this is arch language, there's viscera, there is all sorts of stuff, but it comes together with also the wryest of a sense of humor. You have Seth Rogen as one of
the producers. Yeah. And how hands-on is he? Because you also have a great showrunner in Eric Kripke.
But yeah, Eric is with A Rubber Meets the Road. That's Eric's contribution, and you know he really makes everything tick and keeps the wheels turning. Whereas Seth and Evan, as a duo, as a producing duo, you know they're all over everything. They're involved in everything, and you can feel their input through the whole thing. And they've just been wonderful. They've been really great producers through the whole thing. And honestly, I get really tired of speaking like this because I sound like the most boring cliche actor, but this is kind of the dream job. It's like good material and good people up and down the chain. So I'm waiting for the person that comes on the show that I can
hate,
turn around and hate, and then give you something like, "Hey, guess what? This person's a real jerk." Well, rip on them, but it's not happening yet.
Anthony, I was surprised to find out that that you're a Kiwi, you're from New Zealand, but Carl Urban is as well. Carl, one of the sweetest guys we've ever had in this studio. What a great guy. Super interview.
Yeah.
Did you guys, you grew up in that, you know, being from New Zealand, a small country. You both have made it onto the acting stage. Did you guys, were you contemporaries before your stars rose?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Carl's a little older than me. Not much, but just a little bit. And when he was doing Lord of the Rings and hitting overseas, I was running around the world gallivanting, partying, and drinking. So we had a different trajectory somewhat. And then I sort of knuckled down, and we came into each other's orbit. New Zealand's very small, so I've known him for years. And honestly, ever since I met him, I've wanted to work with him. And then we've, you know, barbecues at each other's houses. We've threatened each other that we got to work together and all that. And then it just never really panned out because we were different life paths, and then this came together. And I mean the suits all get cast earlier because we got to make our suits, and they take about 6 months to make. So we were all sitting there waiting, going, "Oh, when is this going to get cast?" And then Carl turned up, and it was like, "Oh, this is going to be brilliant. This is going to be brilliant. Two Kiwis getting to butt heads."
Yeah, well, it's perfect.
Amazing, you know,
I didn't realize, you know, Anthony, that, and I put two and two together because your hair is you know, blonde in this. I didn't recognize you, but you're on a show that I enjoy called Banshee. Which actually it actually takes place in Pennsylvania, and and in a way, you were sort of you're a character in that that's not what he appears to be, and Homelander's kind of that way as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, you know, and in fact, not just with the character, but with those shows, you know. What I've been finding is Banshee maybe had a little we decided to end that before its time, but what I've been finding is that a lot of people that like Banshee are now crossing over to The Boys and vice versa. So it's having sort of a, you know, it's having a mid-age facelift, if you like, now that people are discovering the show after they've seen The Boys, which is wonderful because they're both kind of in the same. No, they're not in the same genre, obviously, but they're kind of the same cloth.
Yeah, they are.
They're both really enjoyable, really violent, really a little bit like a very heightened reality, and they're both a lot of fun. So it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving is Banshee. Great.
Anthony, I want to ask you about The Boys because I think it's a brilliant show, and I'm curious as to if you ever get this reaction. It's awesome. It's really well written. It's nothing like I've ever seen on TV before, and I hated it. Like it was so made me so uncomfortable. I watched every episode. I can't wait for season two. But man, is like it's so great, and you can't stop watching it. But it is difficult to watch.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man. I'll be really glad when I walk down the street and stop getting shit on.
I'll tell you this. There's a scene in the first season. For people, you can watch this at 8 episodes of the first season. You can get out of the way and get on board.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where you take somebody with Homelander's power, and he has a score to settle, and he's searching for humans. And to me, and I don't know if you feel this way as well, obviously the soups are fascinating, But put yourself in the situation of a person who does not possess the ability, who has somebody basically Superman and above who's got a score to settle with him. How would you respond to that? And that's why the show works so well.
I don't know how you respond to that, and that is why the show works so well. You know, I think you know, there's so much graphic novel stuff out there at the moment. There's so many superheroes around. And what we've done is take all of that stuff, give it a healthy dose of crack cocaine and turn it on its head. it's wonderful. You know, we've got this bastard child, and AKA virus number two for 2020. And it's just, we're in this environment where we can kind of get away with whatever we want.
So yeah.
Those kinds of scenes, the scenarios that you're talking about, we can get away with, and people are really ripe for it, and they really want to see something different. And I keep saying that the Boys season two is sponsored by COVID-19.
Well, it's
we have this captive audience, so I just want the fans to get it and enjoy it, because you know, we bust our ass making it, and it's about time we get it out there.
Three episodes of the second season start tomorrow, and then they'll roll out another episode every week. So it's on Amazon Prime if you haven't seen it yet. Anthony, congratulations on your success. We did hear this announcement of season three, so we'll talk to you again, my man.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay,
dude, I can't wait, guys. Have a great day. Thank you. Be done.
You bet. Anthony Starr, guys. Yeah. Homelander from The Boys. It is one of the things also I love about it, Steve, is maybe kick around this concept. Let's say that a superhero race exists.
Yeah.
And just because you have these abilities doesn't mean you can go out and just take everything you want, because
no.
Then everybody's going to hate you because you're stealing. So in order for them to live a somewhat productive life, they have to be paid.
They got to play the game.
They have to play the game, but to the people that pay them.
Yes.
And they have to behave in a way those people want them to behave if they want to live a certain lifestyle.
It is.
And I never considered
it's a parable for all sorts of things, that no matter how powerful you are, there's someone who's pulling your strings.
It was kind of like, what was the Will Smith movie?
Hancock.
Yeah, Hancock,
yeah.
Where he had to go live alone
because
everybody detested him. Even though he would save people, he would mess stuff up from time to time, and he had to answer, and he couldn't live a quote-unquote normal life. And they kind of explore that a little bit, and how the corporate home base is the controlling part of it, and it's a wild concept.
There's that. There's a sort of a drug problem with the superheroes.
Yes.
They are sponsored. There are some who are actually in it for the real superhero. So take the Watchmen. That's why I think it resonates so much. Why we love it so much, also because it's the Watchmen, but it's got a level of depravity. So if like 9 of the 12 superheroes were like the comic. The comedian,
yeah.
That's what you have. Very cool.
And he had mentioned Elizabeth Shue, who's great in it, too. Homelander has a mommy thing.
It's a big fetish.
You're like, oh, my, am I watching this? Is this really going on?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
There's a lot of uncomfortability in watching
that show. Oh, my God.
Yes. Well, I mean, every episode.
Honestly,
yes.
That scene where Homelander's flying over looking for Carl Urban.
Yeah.
And he's flying over a town, and he's got super hearing. He's got the whole thing, and
he's super speed,
and he's just going in a grid crisscrossing. And they're in this warehouse trying to keep quiet and keep out of his. It'll scare the F out of you.
There's just a predator above you that's going to find you. It's a really good show if you haven't seen it yet. So
did you finish the first season again?
One episode left. Okay. I'll watch it today, and then I'm all set for tomorrow. And I'm going to try to take my time and not binge. I try to do that. If it's something I really like, I don't want it to be over too quickly.
Well,
so I take my time on it.
And you just said, like, it's three episodes, right? So I like that approach, because I'm the same way. You want to watch all of them back to back to back. But if you're forced to wait a week, you don't have an option.
It does work, especially like HBO has this show about the NXIVM called the Vow.
Yes.
Two episodes in now, and it's riveting.
I haven't seen the second episode.
Yeah.
I got to watch that this weekend for sure. So looking forward to that. Speaking of the weekend, something to keep you busy.
Is everyone working for it?
Everybody,
always working for the weekend.
Yeah.
But no, something to keep you busy listening wise is, and in fact, it starts today. MMR's A to Z Homeschooled Edition begins at noon today. Pierre Robert gets the honor of kicking that off and heading into the long weekend. Hey, this is probably on the list.
No doubt. Oh,
yeah. I would think so. Once we get to the W's. So it starts today at noon, and it's the annual alphabetical countdown of everything that rocks. And it's just a music that was compiled by our programming department. It's a majority of the MM archives. I don't think it's every single absolutely last song we have in the archives, but it is an overwhelming majority of them.
Our library is so extensive, you can shear off a piece of it, and still there's no station in the country that can pull off this.
Yep.
And honestly, have the balls to do that, because you're going to hear some obscure stuff. You're going to hear some 12, 13, 15, 20 minute, you know, songs.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
Yep, exactly. So that source today is brought to you by the Bush Auto Group. Fast, easy car buying online. BushAutoGroup.com, by the way. What do we do? We have a little time here, or do we need to take a break?
We got a couple of minutes. I wasn't sure.
No, do you want to do Preston's Heroes?
No. We have John David Washington coming up. I forgot. And he's on at 9:50. So
what do you want to do?
I want to take a break.
All right.
Okay. We cool with that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that and come back in a moment. If we have some time to kill between the Bizarre File and John David, we'll spend some time talking about some other stuff. But I don't want to mess up that interview. So we'll take a break and we'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR's annual musical education in everything that rocks is heading home to roost.
Thursday at noon.
Start your Labor Day weekend early with MMR's A to Z.
The Homeschooled Edition.
No new math or pop quizzes. Just thousands of songs covering everything from A to, well, Z. Duh.
An alphabetical countdown lasting over a week with zero repeats.
All your favorite songs. Ones that'll make you go,
oh, yeah.
Tunes you haven't heard in ages to make you say,
oh, wow.
And a few that'll undoubtedly elicit a,
if you like Pina Colada.
Oh, what the hell?
MMR's A to Z, the Homeschooled Edition, presented by the Bush Auto Group.
Fast, easy car buying online, bushautogroup.com.
From 93.3 WMMR.
Everything.
And we mean everything that rocks.
Nick had mentioned the Smith & Meyer show at Citizens Bank Park tonight, the live-in drive-in. Marissa had just gotten a call from some people who drove all the way up from South Carolina.
Yeah.
To go to the show tonight. And they were asking Marissa, you know, where do you need to line up as far as, you know, getting ready for the show. And she said, oh, it's just across from Xfinity Live. And they were like, no, we're not from here.
Yeah.
So we have no idea what that means. So Marissa gave her the explanation. They're already in line for Smith & Myers tonight. And since they're from South Carolina, I will use this phrase that they will understand. Bless your heart. You don't need to get there that early, but that's okay. Hopefully, you can get there. People were starting to line up when we went there for Bert Kreischer around 4:30, something like that, 5 o'clock. And
I think at a certain point, where you get in. Now you can have, there are tickets.
Okay, there's no assigned parking.
I don't believe so at a certain point, and I might be wrong about that.
No, there are, it depends on what type of ticket you bought, exactly. I believe. So there's not a specific, seat per se, parking space, but there is an area that you are sent to, that you're designated to. Right, Marissa? Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, like a VIP area closer to the stage.
Yeah, there's like the gold section, right. so on and so on. And so they'll direct you where to go, and you should be good to go. So if you guys want to go get something to eat, hang out for the day for a little while, there's no indoor dining right now, but you can eat outside in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Cheesesteak places around there somewhere.
Yeah, sure. If you don't want to go too far, you can. And if you're from South Carolina and you're here, you got
to go to Pasadena's.
Yeah, you could do that.
You can go watch the ball game at the ballpark and then go watch the flight.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, exactly.
Go watch an Eagles game.
No.
And Roland Temple.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's tonight. And the Flyers play tonight, too.
They do, well. Yeah.
So another must win.
Yeah, game six, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right. We have John David Washington, son of Denzel Washington, by the way.
That's right.
Joining us in just a moment to talk about Tenet, because he's the star of the movie.
So Yuki is his uncle, right? You'd assume?
No, no, no.
Yuki's his mother.
No, because he is Denzel's cousin.
Ah,
so it would be his John grandson. David's cousin as well. No, they're not. They're not brothers because that would if Yuki was John's uncle, that would be Denzel's brother.
So he's his grandsister.
He's his grandsister. I think is how that works out. I think Yuki and Denzel are cousins.
Are they cousins?
So John David would be cousin first removed.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. We're all clear on that. Great.
Not really.
Glad we got that cleared up.
Cool.
All right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
B-File this morning brought to you by Cinch Propane Tank Home Delivery Service. It brings propane right to your doorstep, and you can place your order at cinch.com. We'll start with this. A man in Brisbane, Australia, returned home to find two huge snakes so big that they had actually fallen through his kitchen ceiling on Monday. The carpet pythons measured 9.5 feet and 8.2 feet long, according to snake catcher Steve Brown, who removed them from the property.
Fortunately, some funnel web spiders came running out from under the couch and killed them.
He said both these snakes were two of the fattest snakes I've seen, as in the amount of muscle they had.
It's a fat snake.
He said they were very well fed. The snake catcher posted the shocking find on Facebook, including a number of incredible photos in the post.
Does anyone give a rat's ass about that in Australia with all the stuff that can kill you?
Brown revealed that his customer had found two very large coastal carpet pythons in his house. When he got home, he said, it wasn't until I got there that I found out that they had come crashing through the customer's ceiling in the kitchen.
That freaking big.
When Brown arrived, he found one of the snakes next to the front door, the other one in the bedroom. The snake catcher said that it is breeding season for the snakes, and it's likely the two males were fighting over a nearby female who could have been in the roof or somewhere around the house. So they might have another one lurking around.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They were relocated about a half mile away from the man's house.
Oh, yeah, why don't you throw them out the window?
In a state forest.
It's all right. We put them in your backyard.
Yep. This is terrible. A Dallas man confessed to killing his wife and two children, and he said he did it because he had a headache and they were being too loud. Murder. His own family. James Lee Webb called police about an hour after fatally shooting his wife, Victoria Bunton, and their two teenage sons. Horrible. In East Dallas. The complainant and the suspect woke up together, began arguing about 10 a.m. because the suspect had a headache, and the complainant and two children were being too loud. During the argument, the suspect produced a handgun, shot the complainant at least two times, causing her death, and then turned his weapon on the teens. Unbelievable. Waited an hour before calling 911. The suspect stated, this according to the police, that he was tired of all three of the victims yelling and telling him that there was nothing wrong with him, so he shot them. Webb, who was charged with capital murder, was booked into the Dallas County Jail, so you can bet he's going to jail for a long time.
If it wasn't that, it would have been something else.
Yeah. In California, a bear wandered inside a grocery store on Tuesday night, nonchalantly grabbed a bag of Tostitos chips in his mouth, and then headed back outside, and it was all caught on camera.
And he wasn't wearing a mask.
Adina Bedu shot the video at the Safeway grocery store on the northern shore of Lake Tahoe near the Nevada border. Bedu was walking out of the store with her cart, and that's when she took the first video showing the bear eating garbage next to a trash can. He went outside. It's like being at Wawa.
Yeah.
Just hanging out by the trash can and munching on his Tostitos.
Stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
I always come to Wawa's garbage.
Bedu then took her cart to her van and came back to shoot the other two videos. And during that time, the bear had wandered inside the store.
I mean, he walked past, like, fresh, like, food,
yes.
Right? Like,
yeah,
he walked past, like...
There's no accounting for taste.
No. Well, bears love... Do they love, like, donuts and chocolate?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your thing. So he wasn't in there for long, however.
I like chocolate croissants. They're really good.
You like pound chocolate?
Oh, my God. It's like chocolate in a croissant.
Video delicious. Shows the bear.
I've often wondered if you could take two pieces of Wonder Bread and put a Hershey bar between them.
Yeah. The video shows the bear grabbing the bag of chips and wandering away. Mm. No injuries were reported. He was just going in to pick up some snacks. That's pretty much it. An ornate fountain in eastern Belgium has given up an object that it held for more than a century, and it is actually the physical heart of the city's first mayor. The organ, sealed in a jar of alcohol.
We just throw coins into our fountains.
Inside a small zinc casket was found during renovation of the fountain.
That's amazing.
The casket is now on show in the city's Museum of Fine Arts.
I'm sure the mayor was happy to be reunited with it.
Mayor Pierre David died in 1839.
Oh.
But the fountain named after him was only inaugurated in 1883. An engraving on the casket says it was placed in the monument at the time. It reads, the heart of Pierre David was solemnly placed in the monument on 25 June 1883.
And then below it in Latin, taco cat.
that's a palindrome.
Yes, it is.
The alderman for Public Works, Maxime Daigy, said, an urban legend has become reality. The casket was in the upper part of the fountain, right near the bust of Pierre David, behind a stone, which we had removed during the fountain's renovation. They said the casket found by the builders... was in really impeccable condition.
What an impeccable casket.
Mayor Pierre David died in a fall at 68 while working in his hayloft in 1839.
I'm going to be working in my hayloft.
The city authorities launched a collection fund for a monument to honor him, and his family's consent surgeons removed his heart so that it could be entombed in the monument.
He was dead at that point, correct?
He was dead, yes. So they didn't remove his still beating heart. Then took decades for the city to collect enough money to erect a suitable ornate monument, which they did. So I don't know. What are they going to do with the Cid? There are arguments over how to best honor the city's first mayor. Anyway, I don't know what they're going to do with the heart. I guess they're going to put it in a museum. Throw it away.
I mean,
they're going to feed it to the bear.
Yeah. Come on. Bear will like it. Yeah.
What do you do with it anyway? I mean,
I think they'll put it in a museum.
Okay. Probably turn it into a pot pipe.
All right, and then one last thing. Let's go with this. The Vatican is establishing a new department that will try to disassociate the reverence of the Virgin Mary with Italian organized crime. Mafia groups have, for more than a century, misused the figure of the Virgin Mary, one of the most important biblical characters and symbols in Catholicism, to bolster their legitimacy. The new department at the Pontifical International Marian Academy, the Vatican's premier academy for Mariology, which is the part of Christian theology dealing with the Mother of Jesus Christ, now wants to put an end to it.
Jesus Christ.
In a letter to Father Stefano Cecchin.
Dear Father Cecchin.
Pope Francis welcomed the move, saying
I think the Virgin Mary should be associated with the Mafia.
Saying that it aimed to free the Madonna from superstructure's powers or conditioning that does not correspond to the gospel criteria of justice, liberty, honesty, and solidarity. Mafia groups have hijacked the Madonna's veneration in order to present themselves as having God on their side.
Yes.
So they're not having it anymore.
I'm going to have to hang. We no longer stand for this.
At the Vatican. So they're going to try to end that somehow or another. All right. That's what I have in the bizarre file. Our guest is on the line and ready to go.
He's in the Buzz movie.
Yes. This is the first real big movie to come out.
Yeah.
In COVID times.
And from one of the most prominent directors around.
That is absolutely correct. So the film is called Tenet.
Yes.
And let's find out about it. Please welcome the star of the film, Mr. John David Washington. Yay! To the show this morning. John David, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have to say, I was cracking up with the voice echo. Can we have more of that during our interview?
Absolutely. Yes. What an honor to have you on this movie that apparently highlights inversion.
Hey, John David.
I'm motivated now.
Before we go anywhere with the film, and we're going to dive deep into this, we were discussing your relation to Yuki Washington, and is he a cousin first, or do you even know Yuki Washington, who is an anchor here in Philadelphia?
I just came into this information.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We've always known him as your dad's cousin, so we assumed you're cousin first removed or something like that.
Well, they both have good hair, so he must be in the family.
Yeah. Done deal.
That's the telltale sign.
Done deal. Okay, so Tenet, written and directed by Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan's movies tend to confuse me. They're amazing, but they are...
Memento.
You got to pay attention,
yes.
Man. Tell us about you as an actor, reading the script, following the storyline. Did it take some work?
Well, it took
a lot of work. Listen, I'm a college educated man. I feel like I'm not an idiot. I'm pretty confident. And it took me 4 hours to read a script. So I was for the first time I read it. It was it's that complex. But at the same time, it's actually, at least with the story, with the characters, it's easier to follow. And I would suggest when people watch this, just trust the characters and enjoy what you're watching, because it is a spectacle. It's an event film. And it's something unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Well, you know, it's funny because they made a big thing out of the fact that Tom Cruise actually, you know, went out to see the movie in a theater.
Yeah.
But Chris Nolan is known for that sort of impact, that sort of buzzworthy film. And he's known to be very meticulous. What was your experience? Because you've worked with Spike Lee and you've worked with some great directors. What was the experience like with Christopher Nolan?
You know, it exceeded my expectations. I mean, this is a master. I think he's one of the greatest directors of all time. So I was coming in, you know, humble, ready to go, actor for hire. Yes, sir, no, sir, point me where, and I'll say the line exactly how you want. But it was quite the opposite experience. He really wanted, I felt like a teammate, you know, like a collaborator.
Wow.
And that was a great feeling, that he trusted my instincts. He wanted spontaneity. He welcomed, you know, ad libs and that, you know, and then just being able to go with the flow. I mean, he literally said to me, like, "We'll adjust to you." He said that from time to time. When Christopher Nolan, the great Christopher Nolan, says, "Don't worry about it. We'll adjust to you. Do what you do." You don't think that's real. It's like, okay, so I must be an inception right now. This isn't really happening. So I say that story to say that he just had a great amount of trust and belief in me, and I couldn't believe it. It was great.
That's amazing, because when you talk of directors on that level, and Christopher Nolan also did the amazing Dunkirk and so many other movies, when they're that able to direct that big, they usually don't have time to indulge or seek the input from the actor. So the fact that he did that has got to be a big compliment.
I mean, it just goes to why I think there's a reason why his films are consistent and why we keep going back, and he's always, you know, pushing the culture forward. And I think I was made privy to why, you know, I got to peek behind the curtain and see why, because I think he really enjoys performance. I think he loves what actors bring to it. And I think he relies on performances more than I thought, more than I gave him credit for his high concept, crazy, you know, themes. So at the heart of it, he's still just telling a story about human beings. Sometimes human beings, so, you know.
I'm going to ask you to do, I'm sure virtually impossibly, but give us a sort of succinct teaser synopsis of what we can expect in this film, because I don't know anybody who has a grasp on exactly what it's about.
You take the spy espionage action high-octane genre, put it in a Christopher Nolan blender, and you will have a smoothie like you've never had before.
Well, that was well done.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great.
You want to see the reverb on that, Steve. Okay.
That was excellent.
John David, can I just switch gears 1 second? Because I loved your character in the show Ballers on HBO. And I had no idea why you were so good and so believable as a football player in that show. You played like college ball and were drafted by, or actually, I'm sorry, you were invited to the Rams football camp in like 2006. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was an undrafted free agent. I attended Morehouse College, you know, broke some records, very proud of those. And right after I broke some records and was the man, I sat the bench in St. Louis for 2 years. So I guess you can say I was doing a lot of character study.
Well, you got there, man. That's still an amazing achievement.
Yeah. So what was training camp like? Because, I mean, we're going, not we, but they're going through it right now.
Yeah. I think about those guys, especially people that were in my position, the undrafted rookies, that you need all the reps you can get. You need tape. You need film. You need those preseason games. So I can't imagine what they're going through, you know, with the COVID situation, that their reps have been sort of taken from them due to the pandemic and safety first. Camp was hard, not just the physical part of it, obviously, but it was the mental part, because at any moment you felt like you can get cut. Even when you make the team, or in my case, I made the practice squad, which you're part of the team until Sunday. Every week you didn't know if you're on a chopping block or not. So, like, the show Hard Knocks, I don't know if y'all are familiar with that.
Yes, I watch it religiously, yeah.
It really accurately depicts what it's like and what the experience is. And imagine that, though, through the whole season. That was kind of my life during St. Louis. So I enjoyed it, though. I loved it, but I didn't know if I was going to be there every week. So every week was like the Super Bowl week for me. Was like every practice was like a game for me. I took it very seriously because I had to. I had to fight for everything, every paycheck I got in the league. And it sort of prepared me because I've taken those same lessons and the same preparation into the work I have today. So even if I see my name on the call sheet, whether it be 1 or 57, I'm like, this could be my last day.
Yeah.
Me. So, I always keep that mentality with me, always.
Yeah, you have to have a certain, like, discipline in order to reach the levels that you reached in football. I don't recall who your coach was, whether it was Dick Vermeil or Jeff Fisher.
It was Scott Linehan.
Okay. Yeah, he was only there for a hot minute, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I want to quickly, because I know we have limited time with you, I wanted to ask you, you also have Michael Caine, Kenneth Branagh in the movie, and you have the new Batman, Robert Pattinson. Did he get word that he got that role while you were filming?
Well, let me just tell you, I'll put it like this. He was born to play the role. I think his Bruce Wayne is going to be incredible. I think that's the key to Batman. Like, how is Bruce Wayne? Because you know what the vigilante is. So I think he's a remarkable artist, and he's going to kill it.
There's
a trailer out already, and he looks great.
So. He does. And this trailer for Tenet looks fantastic. Everyone's very excited.
Yeah, and excited to go see a movie, which is awesome.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. All right, well, listen, Tenet in theaters starting tomorrow. So.
We're looking forward to it.
Yes. All right, thank you, John David. Good to have you on this morning. John David, Washington. Best of luck, man. We'll talk to you. Well, so you tell Yuki you said hi. All right, see you later. You can get reserve tickets at fandango.com/TenetFilm, spelled T-E-N-E-T. So there you go.
I met his dad once in 1996.
You did?
Yeah, I was. I think I told you guys this.
Were you at the Olympic?
No, I was in L.A. And I had to get a passport. I was in the Federal Building in L.A.
It's Nick McElroy.
Well, so you know, it's just one of those things, Steve. We're like, we got in the elevator at the same time, and then we were both heading out of the parking lot in the same direction. His car was parked two cars down from where mine was. I swear to God, I wasn't following him. But for me, it's meeting one of the greatest actors of all time. For Denzel, it's the schlub in the elevator.
Remember it forever.
Forever, yeah. And he could not have been a nicer guy. We had a brief exchange. I told him that Glory was one of my all-time favorite movies, and he asked me if I'd seen Courage Under Fire, which was out of the time. And I lied, and I said, yeah, I loved it, but I hadn't seen it yet. But
I love animated movies. Right? You know, it's live action.
I'm wondering how I would be with Denzel face-to-face, because we had Jay Farrow in here, who does the most spot-on Denzel Washington impression. And so he turned it on me and acted as if I was speaking to Denzel, and he intimidated the hell out of me with Denzel's, you know, intimidating character roles.
Like the Equalizer, you know, or Training Day.
Or he was kind of, I got the feel of Frank from American Gangster that he was throwing at me. And I was just like, man, I think I would cave around Denzel. He's so suave, smooth, excellent, intimidating, good looking. He's everything.
He's so good. The Equalizer 2 was on last night. They're making another one.
Yeah.
And just the way he's interacting with the people that get in and out of the Lyft, you know, he's a Lyft driver, you know, and his... You see how a pro does... You see how a masterful actor does those things that... And you go, oh wow, that was cool. You know, something that seems very pedestrian to us, they make it work. He's great.
And the line that you get from Denzel in most movies when you know that in just a short amount of time you're going to die is, my man.
Yeah.
Or, goes,
did
man.
I do that? Right?
That was Jay Little White.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm fairly certain Denzel Washington would hate my guts.
Said it publicly.
Why do you?
I don't know. Probably because
the Running Away Club.
Yeah, either that or the Pine Clone Collectors Club.
You want to run away?
Okay, all right.
But you don't. And you do what you need to do.
What are you running from, son?
Yeah. You don't run away. You make it run to you. That's how you do it.
Denzel confronts.
You compel it to run to you.
The Running Away Club.
What's your favorite Denzel movie?
Malcolm X.
Is it? Okay.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. Yeah, Glory is incredible.
Glory is a masterpiece. Malcolm X, I think, is Spike Lee's. Though BlacKkKlansman, we just... that's great as well. But Malcolm X is the masterpiece. But Flight.
He is,
you want to see an incredible sequence when the plane is going down and he calls in the stewardess and says, you know, because he knows the black box recorder is on. If you want to say something to your family, say it here. You know, get it on the recording. It's just like unbelievable.
Yeah, that movie takes some turns you don't expect.
I thought it was a movie about flying.
Yeah,
and it's a movie about alcolism. Really,
it's about a zebra that enters the.
No, that's Kentucky Racing Stripes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's very different movie.
That's why I didn't.
You know what? Hang on a second, Nick. I'm gonna pull up his IMDb because I know we got to take a break here in just a second.
But... Says he medaled in taekwondo at the Olympics.
Oh, I did not know that.
That was George Lopez.
Everything from the Equalizer, the two Equalizer movies, Flight. I'm just gonna go down these and I'm gonna skip a few along the way because, God, American Gangster. Wow,
great movie.
Wow. Manchurian Candidate, which was a remake. Antoine Fisher, man, that was. He's more of a supporting character than that, but he was fantastic in that. John Q is a good movie. Training Day, obviously amazing.
Academy Award.
Remember the Titans, The Hurricane. The Bone Collector is one that I like, too.
Hurricane, man. He's a badass in that.
Fallen is a pretty intense movie.
Fallen is a good movie.
Yeah.
Fire Truck. Fallen is a good movie.
That's what I was thinking.
And people forget that. It's a genre movie. It's like a horror movie, but it's really good.
Has he ever done a comedy?
Yes. He did
Philadelphia.
Which is also hashtag Philadelphia.
It's him and Tom. It's a buddy movie.
Yeah.
And
sequel to Turner and Hooch.
Yeah. You kind of skipped over Inside Man. And if you haven't seen Inside Man, it's really, really good. Clive Owen plays a bank robber and Denzel's trying to crack who's stealing these diamonds. And it's very tense, but it's really well done.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going in reverse chronological order. Crimson Tide, that's guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Philadelphia is a great movie. Pelican Brief. Malcolm X, obviously mentioned that's probably my favorite performance of his. Glory is incredible. It's just incredible. And then it starts to go down to his TV stuff. Like, he was on St. Elsewhere, man.
Yeah. He was.
He did TV work. Just an amazing talent. But, yeah, I would be, Nick, if I was front face to face with him, I'd be scared.
It's a little intimidating.
But he's amazing.
Yeah, Yuki's much nicer than Denzel. I mean, not that Denzel isn't nice, but Yuki's less intimidating, I should say.
Wait, did Yuki just tweet it?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yuki tweeted out to us, gentlemen, his grandfather and my grandfather were first cousins. I've been told D and I are second cousins once removed, so third cousins, ?
Okay.
As far as John David, so.
So Yuki is not Denzel's grand sister.
No. He's his second cousin.
Okay.
Once removed.
I have no ability to perceive or work these first and second cousin scenarios out. I don't understand. I think it's just enough that he shares a bloodline and you know what? I'm sure Denzel says he's thrilled to share the same bloodline with Yuki Washington.
I'm on 23andMe and they show these graphs.
Yeah.
That explain very clearly how the once removed thing, you know, they've got arrows pointing to and I still
can't get it.
Don't understand.
I don't care.
My dad totally gets that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He can, that's your third cousin twice removed, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, he can explain
he can tear right through that.
My cousins do this all the time and it doesn't matter to me. We're cousins. And that's all
identical
that matters.
Identical cousins.
We are cousins.
Identical cousins. And you'll find they walk alike, they talk alike, at times they even sound
alike. No, I found
that
I have, like in the area, I have fourth cousins. They're nowhere near really related to me. You know what I mean?
Hello, my name is Reginald Elliott.
Some that you would consider, a member of the family.
Sure.
So it does make a difference.
Right,
is this the chart that you're talking about from 23andMe here?
It's not. This one's not from 23andMe, but it's similar to it. Yeah, and you can see how far you have to go back to grandparents, in a couple of different grandparents down the road to say that, you're my third cousin. And it's so far away. That it's like
Jebediah Elliott.
Yeah, stuff like that. All right, anyhow.
He actually is from Shelbyville.
We're
I love you guys. Like, sometimes I hate you guys, but like right now.
Right now you love me?
Yes.
And us, all of us. All right. There's a new Daily Rush video out. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com and check out a video called Wet Ass Succulents. It says here in the description, Manthi effing with some wet ass succulents. Bring a bucket and a mop for these wet ass succulents.
That was a polarizing conversation. I had people who hated the succulent conversation, and then I had people who are like, I didn't realize, Preston, that naming your succulents pets is a thing.
I guess so.
And I, my Twitter account got flooded with people proudly showing their succulent pictures.
I just put my succulent pictures up on Instagram because I forgot to do it the other day.
If you've ever wanted to see Kathy's succulent, you can now see a photo of it. So
my mom named trees when she planted trees in her yard. Yeah. She named them, you know.
Like, so, you remember the names?
Yeah, well, she named them after people. So, like, the one tree in the backyard was Patsy. That was my mom's sister. And then the people that moved in, they cut that tree down, and my mom was so upset.
Rat bastards.
Yeah, but actually, Patsy grew back.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So anyhow, you can watch the Wet Ass Succulents now at PrestonandSteve.com. Sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll test your knowledge on today's program with a lesson question. Stay there.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question giveaway, a digital download of The Flash, the complete sixth season. And the question that we're going to ask this morning is, what two specific items does Gene Simmons want to order in his box of chicken? It's the only thing he'll take in his box of chicken.
Right.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know that. What two specific items does Gene Simmons want to order in his box of chicken? Call now. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. It's brought to you this morning by Sequoia Outback. Fall is the perfect time for enjoying dinner on the patio or drinks in the deck. You can get your yard ready with the end of season showroom clearance sale at Sequoia Outback, Route 309 in Hatfield. Or DeckSupplies.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, former Real Housewives of New Jersey stars Teresa and Joe Giudice have officially split, finalizing their 20-year marriage. Well, Teresa and Joe say they knew the relationship was over years ago, but they stayed together to torture their children.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle expanding on that multi-year deal that they signed with Netflix. As part of the agreement, Harry and Meghan have agreed to star in a reality show where they run a roadside tiger zoo. And finally, rapper Akon is moving forward with plans to build his own $6 billion metropolis called Akon City in Senegal. Akon City will be situated next to San Francisco, but Cisco is in the thong song song. That's with us. Anyway, that's all I got. All
righty, let's see.
I drank hot Dunkachino on my tongue is swelling up.
Let's see if we can get an answer to this lesson question. What two specific items does Gene Simmons want to order in his box of chicken? And I'm going to go to Carrie for that. Carrie, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right, Carrie, what are the two specific items that Gene Simmons wants in his box of chicken?
Butts and nuts.
Yes.
Yeah!
You're right, butts and nuts. Hang on a second, Carrie. Digital download, The Flash, the complete sixth season after Fast and Furious year. Team Flash anticipated things to slow down, but in season six, the team contends with an all-new villain called Bloodwork. You can own it now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Velociraptor.
Hmm. All right, so Slipknot frontman Corey Taylor sharing another glimpse into his upcoming solo album with a song called HWY666. I think it means Highway 666. He teased the song on social media yesterday, reminding fans that his album, CMFT, will be released.
Pretty young thing.
No, it's Corey Mother Effing Taylor is what that stands for. On August 2nd, by the way. Hailstorm bassist Josh Smith thinks that it is important for musicians to speak out on political issues. In an interview, he said, music has always been about protest, and for someone to say just stick to the music is so backward. The whole point of music is to protest and self is protest and self-reflection.
He has some strong feelings on boneless chicken, Preston.
And seeing things and telling people about them lyrically. He said, I saw this recently with Tom Morello, and I think that someone said the same kind of thing to him. I mean, he has a degree from Harvard in social science, so who better than Tom Morello to talk about it? I think it's ridiculous, a ridiculous thing to suggest. R.E.M., Hayley Williams, and Death Cab for Cutie are a few of the artists who have contributed previously unreleased cover songs to a compilation album called Good Music to Avert the Collapse of American Democracy. The project comes out tomorrow, and all net proceeds will benefit Fair Rights, a voting rights organization. The 40-song collection features R.E.M. Singing Begin the Begin, which was recorded live in Hampton, Virginia in 1989.
That's a Benny Goodman song, is it not?
I believe it's definitely an old band, big band song for sure, but I'm not sure if it was Benny Goodman or not, but you may be right, Steve. So there are a lot of different groups on this, and I didn't get a chance to read my music news ahead of time this morning because I was late getting to work, so I'm just kind of skimming through this stuff, if you don't mind.
Okay.
How about this? Ex-Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver drummer Matt Sorum has posted his solo remake of Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down online. He tackled the classic in an effort to raise awareness and funds to battle COVID-19. He said, I made this video in the desert near Pioneer Town after speaking with my good friends and partners in Brazil. Brazil's like a second home to me, and I travel there often before the pandemic to work on projects with my company. Since then, we have moved our global project into working on COVID-19 and supporting hospitals. We started the crowdfunding space and raise much-needed funds to help with the situation and medical supplies. So if you want to check out the video and make a donation, you can certainly do that.
You think a guy like that can live off the GNR money that he made? Because he wasn't an original member of the band.
He didn't write the songs.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get songwriting money from that.
That's a good question.
I hope he saved his money.
Right.
Because how you live off of it usually is residual pay from writing, you know, having an ownership in the material.
Yeah. Maybe Duff McKagan is a financial advisor for him.
Yeah, you never know.
Duff McKagan is a whiz at finances.
Both Mick Jagger and Keith Richards remember making a choice to come back in 1973, showcasing a mellower side of the Rolling Stones.
I remember that.
And set for release tomorrow is the deluxe expanded Goat's Head Soup reissue. The album's lead single, Angie, was released on August 20th, 1973.
Wait, there's a goat head in my soup.
73, 11 days before the album, and scored the band its second chart topper of the new decade.
So you are not fond of that song because your sister's name is Angie.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want a song that romantically makes you think about your sister.
No, it wasn't that. No. It just kind of drove me crazy. But I would poke fun at her by going, Angie. Keith Richards, who was the primary writer of the Rooster years before, which was the most unlikely single ever. I'm sorry, that's the wrong line. Keith Richards, who was the primary writer of the song, said, for the Stones to put out a ballad was unusual, but we put out Little Red Rooster years before. That's the line there. Which was the most unlike,
you know, some of the improv that you've been come to know now.
You're not the only one, Preston. Oh,
no, clearly it's an issue that even famous people deal with. He said, I think that's one of the things I really liked about the band, especially in the early years, you know, toss it in on a dime and say, yep, that's a damn good record. And that makes a change and it makes a change. Let's do it. So the reissue comes out tomorrow, by the way. Oh, and Steve, one last thing. We had a death in the world of rock and roll. The second member of Scotland's 1970s heartthrobs, the Bay City Rollers.
Aww. Yes.
Guitarist Ian Mitchell died of cancer at the age of 62.
D-U-I.
He was from Northern Ireland and joined the band in 1976 at the age of 17. After serving an apprenticeship in a minor league rollers group called Young City Stars. Mitchell's death comes just 2 years after the band's co-founding bassist, Alan Longmuir, had died at 70 in 2018.
That band has an interesting history because after Ed Sullivan, obviously with the famous appearance by the Beatles, Howard Cosell had a who was a journalist as well as sports writer. They gave him a Saturday night show. A variety show, a la Ed Sullivan. And so they reeled out the Bay City Rollers. I think the show was live. The Bay City Rollers as the new Beatles.
Oh, no.
What band wants to get that placed on them?
And Howard Cosell?
Howard Cosell was the variety. And Nick, if you could look up, I think.
I did not know that.
I think it was called This Is Your Regular Saturday Night Thing.
Yeah, This Is Your Regular Saturday Night
with Howard Cosell.
I'm Howard Cosell, and I'm going to be your regular Saturday Night Thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it in music news.
Well, I wanted to add a little nugget for music news, if you don't mind. Yeah, well, so because Jackson's Local Shots Band of the Month is...
Fish?
What? It's not Fish. No, because it's local bands.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily local. But you took me off of my center, and I can't remember the name of the band. Mo Lauda and the Humble is their band
former
of the month.
Intern.
And our former intern, Jordan, is the lead singer and guitarist of that band. And they're awesome, and I love them. And they have a new album called Ready Coat. It just came out this year, so I wanted to give them a plug and check them out. They're really, really good. I love their sound.
I thought they changed the name of the band.
Yeah, I think they tried to maybe change it to the Humble, and then they... went back to Mo Lauda.
Yeah, because I remember Jordan saying that Mo Lauda and the Humble was a little wordy. Mm-hmm. It was kind of confusing, but they went back
to Mumble?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's great.
He's
great singer, great songwriter. We were very impressed. All right, cool. New music out from them. Thank you, Casey, and thank you, dear friend, for being you.
We love you, and so does Annabelle.
Annabelle loves you. Annabelle wants you to get... take us to see Tenet. We'll take callers 20 and 21.
I got a Bill greeting in the kitchen today.
Oh, yeah? How did it go?
Morning. Kathy? Were you even on the call yesterday?
Kathy, what's the best part of waking up?
He was getting
coffee. Bill.
He was getting coffee.
All right. Callers 20 and 21 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you a Fandango carrier code to see the film. And it is in theaters tomorrow, but it looks like a wild movie, and it was really cool having John David Washington on a few minutes ago. He's excited about
it. Yuki Washington's grandsister.
We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment. Stay with us because we give away our Word of the Week prize when we return.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Ready to wrap up our program here in just a moment. And pave the way for Pierre Robert and the very cool A to Z Homeschooled Edition. Starting in less than 2 hours, in about an hour and 20 minutes or so. And then that's a journey that lasts a while. It's a long but awesome musical journey that we invite you to travel along with.
It's great.
For all of it if you can, but bits and pieces are nice too. And if you, at some point over the weekend, you know, forget that this is going on, you turn your radio on and you go, am I listening to MMR? That's why, because we're pulling out some pretty cool special pieces of music that get played from time to time.
Sure.
Some are regular things that you hear on MMR, but every now and then you'll hear something pop up and go, wait a minute. Oh, wow. Yeah. And then he has some fun trying to figure out what the next song's going to be. It's just a great event. So that's
excuse me as I'm coughing on the air. I wanted to mention something though that relates to this. The first rock station that I worked at had like a, I think a song playlist of about 140 songs in its entirety. Compare that to what we're going to play.
Thousands of songs. All right. Thank you to Kevin Nealon. Yay. Kevin was in a great mood this morning. Good to talk to him. And he is live streaming a special called Kevin Nealon Behind the Mask. It is September 12th, and you can get the tickets for that, or you can purchase the viewing through RushTix, which is a streaming platform. So you can go to RushTix.com, Tix spelled T-I-X. It was great to have Anthony Starr. Anthony Starr, who is the actor who plays Homelander on a show we love called The Boys. And season two of this is on Amazon Prime starting tomorrow.
So do yourself a favor. And you 8 episodes.
Yeah.
You can knock that off
and then
get right on board, and you won't regret it.
Kathy was asking, so this is a superhero show? not for Jace.
No.
Not for kids, really.
You know, Kathy, have you ever asked yourself the question, what if a woman superhero engaged in certain sexual acts with a guy, what would happen?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
This,
oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
answered it.
Okay.
It's messed up, man.
Yeah, it's messed up.
And then thank you to John David Washington.
Yeah.
Son of Denzel, star of Tenet. And he was super nice, and he loved Steve's reverb unit. He kept requesting it. So that was cool. And the movie is in select theater starting today, which is cool. Pierre Robert is here. Aha! You're wearing the mask that my wife bought for you.
Oh,
I love it.
Okay.
So it's the front of a VW bus, and he's got a VW bus shirt on, too.
Right.
And similar
and it matches color-wise.
Tones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
I love it.
Color-coordinated thing.
Yeah.
You laid out your outfit last night before you went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
Got your breakfast ready.
Yes.
Ironed
yes,
everything.
Yes.
Yeah. What time did you go to bed last night?
3:30.
Hey, Pierre's wearing jorts.
Ah.
I've been wearing shorts.
Jean shorts. Jorts. Yeah.
Corduroy kind of.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't think those are denim, are they?
No, they're not denim. They're corduroy.
Oh, like chinos. Okay. They're like they're shorts. Chino shorts.
Oh, this is what I wanted to mention.
Or like a chino suit.
Yeah.
What I wanted to mention is that the in the Bizarre File, the bear story in the store at Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Is a quarter of a mile from my house.
Really?
I shopped at that store when I came to visit you a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
What's the bear population like in that area?
It's quite overwhelming now.
Is it? Yeah.
I remember when we came to visit you, sorry to interrupt here, but there are bear sightings all the time. And so they'll end up in a Safeway, for example, because you'll just kind of hear it through the grapevine. It's like, yeah, there was one down the road over there, and six people that were driving saw it crossing the street or whatever. And there's pretty much just the one road that goes around the entire lake, and it can be an issue because they'll cross the street, and it can be like deer around here.
Oh, well, yeah, the Safeways are like Acme stores out there, and it's a big supermarket chain, and half a mile, if that, from my house
that's
is
wild.
The store that this bear went into and helped himself to Tostitos or Doritos or some kind of O's. And I rent my place in the summertime, and some of the renters sent me pictures of a bear on the deck.
Wow.
Going through their...
Look, this is me with Trini Lopez.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's priceless.
Grin and Greg made me a magnet that said, we taught Trini Lopez how to water ski.
That's great.
But, yes, the bear was going through the renter's cooler... and had drunk all their alcoholic beverages and then proceeded to finish off all their Mountain Dews. So they had a fully caffeinated, drunk bear going down, heading towards the lake.
They're amazing animals.
Yeah.
And because, you know, people move into the area, they get access to things they normally wouldn't. But you have to juxtapose the notion that they're incredibly powerful, efficient killers.
Right.
But they're also... They're beautiful and adorable in a bizarre way. It's
you
the ultimate
cuddle with them.
You clearly do, but though they would rip you in half.
Exactly. So there it is.
I love it.
Thought I'd share that.
Let's get the letter, all right?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Z, as in zombie zoo.
All right, and we have caller number 8 that will have the opportunity to tell us what the word, the kind of word of the week is. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now, and let's set you up here in just a moment. So, I already mentioned, you've got the A to Z starting today.
Correct.
Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And everything you guys said about it is true. We'll start in the numbers. So, I think the first song is the number 2 minutes to midnight.
I was literally playing that song on the drums yesterday.
Were you really?
Yeah, just for fun. I haven't played it since I was probably in high school, and it was fun messing around.
It's probably a good idea also to mention that this is with the thing, and you know, people are very fastidious. They want to follow along and everything, which is great, and they want to highlight what they believe are omissions. This is a little bit more informal,
right.
A to Z, you know, but there's a hell of a lot of songs.
Well, as I like to say, we're not the Library of Congress. You know, we're a bunch of stoners who, you know, who just, for example, like, you know, any song like, give me a song with the.
The Way by Fastball.
Very good.
Okay. If that was categorized in a real library, it would be Way, comma, the.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the Rolling Stones would be Rolling Stones, comma, the. So we start it with however the song starts. So we have a whole category of thes, for example, a whole category of us, you know, those kinds of things. So it's, you know, and it's not perfect. It's not every song ever written, nor every song MMR ever played, because if it was, we'd be here for about a half a year doing it. I mean, and there'd be sides of Beethoven that would be going in there, because the, you know, the 60s and early 70s DJs went, you talk about left turns. I mean, everything was a left turn. So it's, you know, it's not
perfect.
A
super tight DJ compared to those guys.
Yes, I'm top 40 compared to them on the top bop booba daka dopa dop.
I was going to ask what a top 40 DJ sounds like.
Top bop. I can't do it any. I couldn't. I don't know where it came from.
It was a moment in time. It was a magic
moment.
Hey,
everybody. It's good to have you on the map. Do you have the drum solo one with it?
Yeah, Case, can you pull that up?
Yeah. I've been meaning to do this in the crossover for 2 weeks now. Preston does these drum videos, and he took that little sound bite, and he did a little drum accompaniment to it, and it's really quite brilliant.
Did we ever, while you're looking that up, did we ever play the ranch dressing rant on?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. That one took some time.
Oh, my God.
That was a lot of fun.
Have you posted that one yet, ranch dressing?
Yeah.
He has a YouTube channel. Everything's up on that.
Okay. And I also post on social media, too. So, and by the way, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Thank you, Steve. Just go to YouTube and type in Preston Elliott and subscribe to my YouTube channel. And you'll see all the birthday videos I've made for everybody. And
Snuff films.
My snuff films and my drum covers.
And your drum covers, which are really the highlight.
Okay, here it is. This is it.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
Oh, I love that.
It was fun to do.
I love that. Play it one more time.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
Really?
Thank you, sir.
Ringo's got nothing on you.
Yeah, man.
Great.
All right, let's go to the phone. Do you mind if I get a winner here?
Not at all.
Let's go to caller number 8. It's Bob. Hey, Bob.
How are you guys today?
Wonderful.
Bob,
you're going to be doing better if you can tell me the word of the week.
A to Z.
Coo, coo, ka, choo, you, you, you.
That is correct, Bob. And for you, my man, we have something for you to do tonight. We are going to set you up with a ticket for you and three friends to see Smith and Myers, presented by WMMR. And it's part of the Live In Drive-In Concert Series at Citizens Bank Parking Lot. So congratulations, my man.
Thank you.
All right, hang on. We'll get your information. We'll set you up. Some tickets remain. You can see the full schedule, complete guidelines, and Marissa's 5 tips to attending the drive-in shows at WMMR.com. So congrats to you, Case.
So, Preston, I just put something in front of you. We do have to announce this today because it's already live on the website. So,
all right. And were we supposed to mention this earlier today?
Well, you know.
Don't worry a hair on your pretty little head.
All right. This is actually the fourth time we're mentioning this
today. Yeah, so just I want you to remind our listeners of what we've already mentioned.
This is a save the date information announcement for you. The Camp Out for Hunger 2020. Yeah. Now, this is important because we are changing things up date-wise ever so slightly this year. Rather than the Monday following Thanksgiving, it's going to be the week prior. So this year, it will be starting on November 16th to the 20th. So that is before it starts on the 16th, ends on the 20th. So the President and Steve Camp Out for Hunger will happen. Now, we are working on the mechanism, on how this will take place and your ability to come by and donate. It is not going to be like it normally is with a tent full of people and live bands and us doing contests where we all are on top of each other and stuff like that. It's going to look different than that. We are working on it. Many things about it will be different, but many things about it will be the same. The most important is the ability to come by and drop off food and donate, okay? So your donations are needed to help Phil Abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our community more so than ever. So as of now, just set those dates aside, okay? November 16th to the 20th, it will be at Xfinity Live at the Wells Fargo Center complex. So that is going to remain in place.
Is that the week of Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving is the next week?
Yes, the
week before.
We go November 16th to November 20th, which is Monday to Friday. The following week is Thanksgiving.
So I misstated when I said the week prior. Okay. It's actually 2 weeks before that.
Got it.
So it will be. We'll have a full week. The following week will be Thanksgiving week.
Got it.
And then the week after that would have been when we were normally doing the Camp Out for Hunger. But
I think
one of the good things about it is maybe it'll be a smidge warmer at that time, so that might be good.
There could be other things going on, which is cool. And then and ultimately, it's going to be, as I'm so glad that we're moving ahead with it and doing it. And if ever there's been one we've needed, it's this time. So all hands on deck, as they say.
I think I'm excited because we're finally going to be able to do the kissing booth when we're there.
It's great. It's honestly great. Yeah.
Well. The other thing is, though, it might even be more important to have it before Thanksgiving so that they'll have more food for the Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
right. So it's really good.
All right, so just a heads up on that, and I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Fred Beans. There we go. There's so much stuff written on here, I have a hard time finding who the sponsor is. Labor Day, a better way at Fred Beans. Only, online at fredbeans.com. And also, Rita's. Try the Reese's Peanut Butter Mudslide Treats at Rita's. Next week on the show. Next week on the show, we will have Glenn Howerton.
Yes.
Our good friend from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And the A to Z will continue, and we'll work out some other things. Hey, have a safe work. We know we're taking a longer weekend, so the week may continue for you tomorrow. But once you get to the holiday weekend, please have a safe one. Enjoy. The weather's going to be wonderful. That's it. We're done. Rage on, and we will see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
The sheer mention of the Baby Shark song is gonna have that song stuck in my head all day.
Next message.
I would buy the out of some Black Finger bourbon. Get that going.
Next message.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. Just worried about the money. I mean, the cats out there. That's all I was worried about. You money hungry. Where's your husband, Carol?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.